Yes, good morning. It's Mornings Edition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good it is morning.
6 past the hour. You're listening to Air America Radio. How are you, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes? 53% or so of you went out and exercised your democratic duty, your civic duty to vote. About 47% of you didn't. You condescending failures. How could you not show up? Look what's happening. What were you thinking? Oh, man. I'm a little angry at them, Mark Riley.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have to give it up for the cities across America, like New York, where John Kerry got 82% of the vote.
Yep.
Like Philadelphia, where John Kerry got 80% of the vote.
Yep.
People turned out here. People showed where they were coming from as far as this election is concerned. We should let you know that as of the current moment, George W. Bush does not have the 270 electoral votes necessary to win the presidency of the United States.
But apparently that's not going to stop him from claiming victory.
Yeah.
We just got a report in that Bush is going to go ahead and say he's won later this morning without, you know, having all those electoral votes in, which is pretty audacious.
Arrogant is the word.
Arrogant.
Arrogant is the word. But see, this is all around Ohio. Remember yesterday we talked to Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs Jones.
Yeah.
And she talked about how difficult things were in Ohio. Well, they've remained difficult. As of right now, there are, by some estimates, 250,000 provisional ballots that have yet to be counted and may not start to be counted for another 11 days under Ohio law.
Well, as we were saying yesterday, Riley, the scam was the fact that they were understaffed. The scam was people were forced to wait online for hours and hours. The scam was that, you know, people still hadn't voted till like 2 in the morning. There were still people waiting to vote.
We got in here this morning. There were still people on a line near a college in central Ohio. I believe near our affiliate in Columbus, as a matter of fact.
And why so much chaos in Ohio? How come so many other states went smoothly? Why is there machine malfunctions? Why are there people still waiting online at 2 in the morning? It becomes so suspect that the chaos they created was nothing more than strategy, on top of the fact that that Karl Rove said that they were about 4 million short of the
evangelical
vote, and it turns out that, you know, there was about 4 million new votes there. And
yeah,
that, yeah, they really mobilized a lot of these people with these wedge issues, which we'll talk about in a little while.
Yeah, we got an extra hour to talk about it, and yes, the wedge issues did in fact work. But here's where we stand right now, Mark.
Okay, tell me, because like I'm just too busy freaking out and trying to remain.
No need to freak out.
All right, buddy.
No need to freak out. You got to focus stuff like this happens.
That's the voice of wisdom and history coming at me from Mark Riley, a guy who's seen this stuff before.
I've seen it before, and I know that the only way you deal with it, no matter how it turns out, is that you resolve to stand and fight.
Okay.
No matter what else happens. Yeah, people may be depressed that it didn't happen the way everybody thought it was going to happen. Certainly didn't happen the way I thought it was going to happen. I thought it was going to be 8 percentage points. I've been having anxiety attacks for the last 48 hours. But you know what? When it's all said and done, when I woke up this morning, it all dissipated.
How much did you lose? Be honest.
Huh? $1.385, all right? But the bottom line is, you know, I still got my family,
mm-hmm,
which is important to me.
Yeah.
I still live in the United States of America.
For how long is that going to be?
What time is it? But
where
you know
you
what?
Moving?
As long as we live in the United States of America,
right,
we have a chance to change this.
Yeah, we got it's going to take some serious mobilization.
It's going to take some serious mobilization, but understand where we are now.
Yeah.
Right now,
yeah.
George W. Bush, without counting the state of Ohio, which now apparently his people are trying to count.
Mm-hmm.
Without it, he doesn't have a presidency. Right now, they are almost within 2 electoral votes. Wisconsin was just declared for Kerry. That's
yeah,
an extra 10 electoral votes on top of the 242 we already had. The margin that I last saw before Wisconsin was 254 to 242. Add 10, 254, 252.
But what's stopping this thing from becoming some sort of electoral quagmire in Ohio? I mean, let's go down with the
facts. Absolutely nothing.
Right. Ohio Secretary of State J. Kenneth Blackwell estimated that 175,000 provisional ballots have been submitted in Ohio, though some estimates have ranged as high as 250,000.
Quarter of a mil, folks.
And don't tell me, you know, outside of the fact that, you know, with there being machine problems in some districts, and then on top of that, the incredible understaffing of the polls, people waiting online for hours, was that, you know, late night, you know, vote, that late
yeah,
night court order, that they would allow the challenges to happen.
Yeah, you that know, they would allow people to challenge voters at the polls. But you know what? People in Ohio were listening when we said, yesterday, stay online.
Yeah.
If you get there before the polls close and the line's long, stay, because people stayed online. These are folks, there were people voting, as we mentioned earlier, 2 o'clock this morning.
Right.
Now, you can imagine how long they must have had to stand online in order to do that. Kenneth Blackwell is going to become the most reviled Secretary of State after Catherine Harris, of course,
yeah,
from Florida.
By us.
Yeah.
You know,
but, you know,
you,
she won, too, the creep.
Yeah. I mean, I look at this electoral map, and I get the willies, man. I get the willies. That's a lot of red.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
I mean,
you just fly over that.
Yeah, I guess so, but you know.
From New York to California, you just fly over the red states. Look.
But I tell you, I want to reach out to those people, though. You know, there are a lot of Democrats came out in the South. You know, a lot of Democrats,
yes,
came out in Alabama. A lot of people stood up and said, look, I'm going to let my voice be heard. I'm going to go vote for John Kerry. Even though they lost the states, you know, that takes a lot more courage than the 50 or 47% of the people that somehow condescended to this vote, that somehow decided it wasn't important enough. It irks me, and it makes me very upset.
Well, you know, the youth vote in particular. It didn't happen. New voters did not happen. George W. Bush did very well with much better, 5 percentage points better among Latinos this time around than he did in 2000. And their threshold was 35%. The estimate is he got somewhere in the neighborhood of 40. As far as all of that stuff about 20% of the black vote going for Bush, forget about it. It went 90 to 10 for John Kerry. The unions went heavy for Kerry. The urban areas went heavy for Kerry. The coasts went heavy for
right.
Kerry. It's not over yet, Mark, but I'm here to tell you, for me, it almost doesn't matter who ends up winning now, because you still got to. What we see now is a divided country. And you know what? When Barry Goldwater went down to defeat in 1964, the biggest margin up until that time in U.S. history, Lyndon Johnson cleaned his clock. But you know what? The right wing didn't sit and cry for a couple of years. They said, okay, we lost this. Let's figure out how to win. And 4 years later, they won.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, if one of you bastards out there who didn't vote.
Go ahead, say it.
Who didn't vote sits there and goes, I told you. You got no right. You got no right to say that. And you know what? I'm going to have to fight that my own sad self, Mark Riley. I'm going to have to fight that sort of like, oh, man, we're screwed. You know, what are we going to do?
Hey, man, I have been there in election after election. I hurled after a couple of elections.
Really?
I was physically ill, yeah. But you know what? The only way that you deal with this is to get up. See, because people think that because of it, remember back in the dark days of early 1994, 1995, when Newt Gingrich came along with the Contract with America?
Of course
it was
that.
The low point of the Clinton administration. People thought, oh, my God, look at what's going to happen. He's going to be a one-term president. He's going to be a lame duck. He's not going to be able to win. And what happened?
He won.
He won. All right? The bottom line is you have to resolve to maintain. This is politics.
Well,
okay?
You know what they did, though? They divided and they conquered. You know, I mean, there's some indication that about 20% of the gay, bisexual, lesbian vote actually voted for Bush. And there's about, about 80% of the evangelicals voted for Bush because of, you know, anti-gay legislation possibilities. That this amendment to amend the Constitution around
it
the gay marriage.
In 11 states.
But see what he did? He was able to frighten enough people with the terror element and mobilize enough people with the moral wedge issue element, and they're two very different groups of people, but it sort of worked. He literally divided and conquered, you know, the people that you wouldn't think would be part of his base.
But you know what? I think the gays and lesbians that voted for Bush are all planning on leaving the country en masse. I really do. I don't think they're going to stay here.
Well,
I think this was their parting shot.
I'll tell you, man, if they start playing around with that Patriot Act and they start making it, you know, if they add to the list, you know, liberal radio show hosts, we're in trouble,
we're in
buddy.
Trouble. But you know what? Everybody kind of, well, you know, Air America, what are you guys going to talk about after the election?
Well, you know, we still got plenty to talk about now.
That's right.
We got plenty to talk about Ohio. We're going to talk to Chris Dickey, who's Newsweek Magazine's Paris Bureau Chief, about what's going on in reaction to this over there. We got a big show planned for you. And, you know, don't cry.
Keep your head up.
That's right. It's 15 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
Attention smokers, find out how to get two free cartons of your preferred brand of cigarettes. That's right, the makers of Smoke Free and 3 are so confident you will finally quit smoking that they'll buy your next two cartons for you if you don't quit. Never again will you have smoke-filled clothes, bad breath, or jeopardize the health of your loved ones. Just listen to these ex-smokers.
I've been smoking a carton of cigarettes per week as long as I can remember. The very first day I started the Smoke Free and 3 system, I quit.
This is Shelly, and my cravings have decreased. I'm calmer, less irritable, and I've been smoke-free for a month now.
This system really surprised me on how effectively and quickly it worked.
Smoke Free and 3 is strong against cravings mentally and physically, so you can stop for good. No stress, no jitters, no anxiety, and no more money wasted on cigarettes.
Call now for your trial of Smoke Free and 3 at 1-800-304-1766. Stop smoking in just days, guaranteed. 800-304-1766. If you don't stop, we'll send you $100 to buy your next two cartons. Call 1-800-304-1766. That's 1-800-304-1766.
Love It Loud. The NBA on Sirius. For game time, log on to Sirius.com or call 877-33-SIRIUS.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
I got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kid's principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Racing thoughts. Horrible images crept through my mind. I thought I was seeing the devil and kept asking my friends if I was dead. I felt like I was having a heart attack. When we got to the hospital, I was committed to the psychiatric ward. Spent the next 14 days there.
17-year-old Lynn Smith had always heard ecstasy was the harmless and happy drug, which is only true if she'd never used it. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org. You give me power. Get out of bed. When in the morning, I'm feeling dead.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of Rad. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. And remember, don't drink and drive. It's just not worth it. One, two, three,
four, five. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
When it comes to food safety, experts stress that cold temperatures will keep harmful bacteria from growing or multiplying on food. Remember the two-hour rule. Refrigerate or freeze perishables as soon as possible. And don't let food sit out at room temperature for more than 2 hours. Refrigerating foods quickly is one way you can give bacteria the cold shoulder. Brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
Dating driver, a luxurious driving experience isn't an option as much as a requirement. That's why Goodyear developed the new Assurance, featuring Comfort Tread technology. Not only does this tire offer a distinct upscale appearance, it delivers a smooth, quiet, comfortable ride. Assurance, featuring Comfort Tread technology. It's the ultimate accessory for your luxury vehicle. For complete details and the retailer nearest you, call 1-800-GOODYEAR.
the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition.
Hey,
Air America Radio, we're fighting for Ohio. Still a shot, man. We still got a shot here.
You're right, we got a shot.
They're up to no good, and it's clear.
It's not over.
It's not over. They're using all sorts of strategies.
And you know how it's not. You know how we know it's not over?
Why?
Because we said a couple minutes ago that George W. Bush was thinking about declaring victory and actually coming out in front of the public. Apparently, they've rethought that little idea.
And they're going to send Gillespie.
They're going to send a stooge out instead.
He is
Mo Howard.
He is King Stooge. King Stooge. Is he on the phone? Yeah, he is? All right, great. Joining us by phone from Paris, France, is Chris Dickey. He's Newsweek Magazine's Paris Bureau Chief and Middle East Regional Editor. Good morning, Chris.
Wait a minute.
Maybe not.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, hello.
Hey, how are you? What's the reaction over there? You guys hanging by the edge of your seats there? How are people feeling about this in Europe?
Well, I think in Europe they've pretty much given it away to Bush at this point.
No!
Not very happily, I have to tell you.
Oh, man. So what are all the papers saying? All of them are saying what?
Well, I mean, the papers went to bed long ago.
Right.
Remember, it's still early days here. I mean, everybody here is just waiting to see what the final result is before anybody leaps out and makes headlines. But right now, I would say the general consensus at one of the gatherings I was at this morning, where there were a lot of sort of senior French policymakers, was Bush has won.
And how did that make them feel?
Well,
strategically, and what do they think in terms of the world picture now?
Well, I'll tell you a couple of things. First of all, they're appalled. But secondly, they think that this is going to make it a lot more difficult, not only for the United States, but for Americans in the world. There was always a kind of a sort of what you might call the Bush anomaly when Europeans and the rest of the world looked at the United States. They'd say, well, somehow Bush got elected 4 years ago, but this is not the American people. Now they look at this popular vote figure and they say, well, that is the American people. What's wrong with the American people?
Yeah, we ask the same thing here. It's about a quarter of the American people, really.
Well, it is, but still, the general impression is that the American people have gotten behind Bush and that they support what he's doing. And since the level of international relations, on the level of social values and social norms and criteria, really across the board, the sense of a divide widening between Europe and the United States is enormous. And the Europeans are puzzled by it.
Chris, how is that divide going to be made manifest in Europe? I mean, what, are they just going to call people ugly Americans in the street? I mean, if they put this on the American people, how will that happen?
Oh, no, I think a lot of things will happen. First of all, it could get more unpleasant for Americans when they're traveling around the world, not just in Europe, but also in Asia and Africa and Latin America. There's very much a sense of not just unugly American, George Bush now, but we'll have a growing sense of an ugly America. And that's going to be bad for all of us. In concrete terms, people are looking at the alternatives. Do they really need to have a great partnership with the United States? Maybe the future is in Asia. Isn't most trade going to be oriented toward China anyway? Isn't that the future? And there's going to be an effort to sort of rethink relations with the United States across the board. I don't think it's really possible to overestimate the coming isolation of the United States given the current circumstances.
But, Chris, I mean, the United States is arguably, or maybe inarguably, the most powerful nation in the world. Can these countries really afford not to deal with the most powerful country on Earth?
Powerful to what end? That's the question.
See, that's a good question, Chris. I don't know.
No. That's the question that they ask.
Well, Chris,
I'm telling you, this is the view from over here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful country, but to do what?
Is it a powerful country to
go invade Iraq and get bogged down there and become hostage to the Iranians there? Somebody was saying, you know, look, the United States has put 140,000 Iranian hostages into Iraq, and we will have much less room to maneuver vis-a-vis Iran than we do now.
Now, Chris, there's something else I wanted to ask you about, and this doesn't get talked about a great deal. There are a lot of places in the world that invest substantial sums of money in United States financial markets. It doesn't get talked about a great deal here in the States, but what would happen, or would you anticipate that some of these countries and some of these people will begin to take their money out of America as a result of the this election?
Well, that's been happening for quite a while now. To the extent, for instance, that the windfall profits of the first oil boom in the Middle East in 1973 to sort of 1980 were repatriated to the United States. I mean, we were paying a lot more for gas, but the money was all coming back and going into the U.S. economy in, as Saudi and Kuwaiti and other kinds of investment. We haven't seen that pattern with the oil price rise now. Saudi Arabia's got a $55 billion windfall as a result of the increase in oil prices this year. And we are not going to be seeing a lot of that coming back to the United States the way we did before. A lot of it's going to go to Europe. A lot of it's going to go to Asia. That's what I mean about people looking elsewhere. And this is not good for the U.S. economy over the long run. It's something we've depended upon in the past. And no matter how much we paid out, essentially we got it back because people wanted to invest in the United States. Well, now you've got a lot of different things at play. And, of course, a lot of them are just financial. The return on investment in the United States is not great. If you invest in equities in the United States, the Dow has been stuck around 10,000 forever, it seems,
yeah.
Whereas a lot of other stock markets have been going up, including even the ones in the Arab world. Even the Iraqi stock market is a hotter stock market than the American one these days. So as a result, people are looking for other places to put their money just for growth reasons. Then they look at the, in terms of the Arab investments, they look at the price of investing in the United States, which is someday John Ashcroft can declare you a security risk, or the Treasury Department can, and the next thing you know, all your assets are frozen. People don't see that as a healthy investment environment. And finally, in Europe, yes, there will continue to be a lot of exchange, a lot of investment in the United States, but there certainly is an effort to diversify, and that's not good for the USA.
So just quickly, in your view as a Middle East analyst, what do you think Bush is going to do in Iraq
if
he's reelected?
I think he's going to, within the next few days, he's going to flatten Fallujah and hope that that teaches everybody a lesson. This is an administration that's big on teaching people lessons. But somehow the lessons don't get learned.
Right.
Because usually the timing is off and the target is off.
Yeah, we got to go, Chris. Thanks for being with us.
Appreciate it, Chris.
Okay.
You take care. Wow, man, that sounds grim.
It's depressing.
I can't, you know, what does isolation mean? You know, I mean, on some level.
We're going to find out. Remember, Osama bin Laden's stated goal was to bankrupt this economy.
866-303-2270. We're taking your calls. You know, express your anger, your frustration. Tell us what you know on the ground.
We got some folks that are angry about the situation. We're going to be getting to you. 866-303-2270. We're also going to be talking with Tim Noah. He is Slate's Chatterbox correspondent. When we return, here on Air America Radio.
Turn your car into a stealth fighter, invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it has been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
NBA on Sirius. For game time, log on to Sirius.com or call 877-33-SIRIUS.
This is Earth and Sky. Air pollution reaches even the most remote mountain areas.
That's according to Bill Bowman, the director of the University of Colorado's Mountain Research Station. He spoke to us about changes happening to mountain air quality.
In the western United States, we're concerned about acid rain
We're looking at changes in stream and lake chemistry, changes in the biological composition of those lakes as sensitive indicators of acid rain, and in particular nitrogen pollution in those ecosystems.
Nitrogen pollution from cars and power plants burning fossil fuels is a component of acid rain. Bowman's research group runs experiments in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. They add nitrogen to soil and water to look for changes in soil and water chemistry. Their results suggest that an ecosystem exposed to nitrogen pollution might push plant species into doing better under high nitrogen concentrations.
But plants that have incorporated more nitrogen release more nitrogen when they decompose. Bowman's concern is that the lost nitrogen leaches into fragile alpine watersheds, increasing the acidity of the water. We have more on mountain ecosystems on our website, earthsky.org. Thanks today to the U.S. Forest Service and to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
So, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be an optimist.
A what?
An optimist.
My dad is one, and he says optimists help kids.
He says they have all sorts of activities and programs for kids.
Things that help kids feel good about themselves.
Dad says they have sports programs, safety programs, and things that are just fun.
So, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, I kind of wanted to be a rock star, but now I think I might want to be an optimist too.
They're in your bathroom cabinet, under the kitchen sink, in your garage. They're ordinary household products that kids as young as 10 sniff to get high. What these kids don't know is that sniffing can cause instant death. Talk to your kids. Know where they're going, who they're with, and what they're doing. If you know what your kids are up to, they're much less likely to sniff inhalants. Awareness. The anti-drug.
I'm Joe Perry.
I'm Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD. Recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Floods and flash floods can strike almost anywhere. Many people don't know that the severe damage to homes and property caused by floodwaters is not covered by homeowners insurance. Protect yourself and your family from catastrophic financial loss due to flood damage. Learn more about the National Flood Insurance Program by calling 1-800-427-4661. 1-800-427-4661. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Strong enough, Caleb. Come on, I know it's Journey, but it doesn't seem strong enough. We got to fight this thing out. It's 34 past the hour. Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Yay!
42% of voters were college educated. Where were you? Where were you? Where was that 58% of people that that were intelligent? Where were the smart guys? What, at home saying, I don't know if this election system really works. What's the point of voting? Man, am I mad at you guys. I am really mad at you guys.
I'm mad at Wally O'Dell.
Yeah. Wally O'Dell, the chief executive of Diebold, said, quote, committed to helping Ohio deliver its electoral votes to the president next year, end quote. Malfunctions in some districts, you know, it's completely suspect. How are we ever going to get to the bottom? This palace is going to be in later just to look at us and go, see what I told you? See how this goes? Now it's time to look at the presidential daily briefing, that highly classified top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is entitled, Mission accomplished. Now pay up. Mr. President, well, congratulations are in order. You've done it. Or should I say we've done it. Mission accomplished. We've covered for you for 4 years. Cleaned up your messes, hid your mistakes, adjusted the terror code level so you could keep people in the dark, afraid, confused, and crying for daddy to protect them. We played the terror card flawlessly, if we do say ourselves. We didn't take any credit, but we took a heck of a lot of blame. You kicked us like a dog and we just rolled over. We kept quiet while you were blaming us for not doing our jobs, not communicating with other agencies, giving you quote-unquote faulty intelligence. Yeah? Well, we all got a big laugh over that expression around here. The whole thing worked just like we said it would. 4 more years, that's what you wanted, and that's what you just might get. If you loosen the presidential purse strings a little bit and give us the budget we need to keep protecting you from yourself. More agents, more money, more power, more of everything. No. We're not asking. We're telling. We earned it, we deserve it, and you're going to give it to us. You ate the meal. Here's the check, pal. And if you have any doubts, I've got one word for you. Ohio. Are we communicating now? We have all the information at our fingertips. Let me jog your memory. Operation Win at Any Cost? Is it coming back to you, buddy? All that information is in a safe, secure place. It's just where it will stay. Or you could catch it all on TV. We'll be expecting a meeting soon. Real soon. And hey, a simple thank you wouldn't kill you. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. All right, let's do this.
Yeah, we got some people on the line that are not buying this election.
Sean in Wisconsin. How are you?
Hey, Sean. I'm buying it, man.
Yeah, no, there's nothing to buy. It's crazy.
I'm pissed. I'm pissed at the Nader people.
Yeah, no kidding,
I mean,
right?
I hope that they feel good about themselves and they have their moral, high ground to stand on, that they voted the way they wanted to, and what they got for their trouble was George Bush for 4 more years.
Sean, I don't even understand it. I don't even understand the number of people that didn't show up to vote. There was this huge sort of
expect to them too. I mean, I guess they sort of deserve what they get because they didn't show up and do anything about it.
Yeah, I know, but I don't deserve it.
Too, so
yeah,
I'm
exactly. The bastards. They screwed us, Sean.
I'm inspired by Lawrence O'Donnell on Scarborough Country last week when he was yelling at John O'Neill to just shut up and calling him a liar, and I think that's something, I was thinking about it, and I'm like, that's something we need to do more of. For so long, the right-wing guys have gotten on the shows and blathered and used them all the time and not
yep.
giving the other side time to talk.
Yep.
And I think we need to do more of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about that. I was watching Crossfire last night because I can't help myself.
Uh-oh.
And, Carvel was basically saying the same thing. Bagala was saying the same thing. The attack mode works. It gets people worked up. I mean, we waited too long on it this time. Not here at Air America, but certainly, we could have went to the Democratic Party. Kerry could have went into attack mode a little earlier, get people's ire up.
Yeah, but look, at this point, I don't even want to do the blame thing.
Okay,
I don't even want to say who's wrong, who's right, whatever. This is the bottom line. This is politics, okay? It is a game of winners and losers. Now, George W. Bush hasn't won yet. Let's be real clear about that. Let's
hasn't
not give
yet.
Him credit for something he hasn't done. He hasn't earned it. All right.
And even backed off deciding to say that he won.
And remember that we have in the pocket here a statement from the guy who had Ohio's voting machines.
Yeah.
Wally O'Dell of Debo.
A year ago, quite a few other voting machines.
Cleveland Plain Dealer, I am committed to delivering Ohio's votes to the President of the United States.
But still, Mark, the thing I'm saying is there's no way they're going to prove that crap. We know that. But,
this is what you build on. This is where you start. Just like when the Republicans got beat in 1964, they started from rock bottom.
But the truth of the matter is like people started months ago, like almost a year ago with these Debo machines and fighting them on the local level and pulling them out of some states. But the truth of the matter is, what I'm disappointed in is that the turnout that we expected to see, the youth turnout, the massive...
The youth turnout didn't happen. The first time voter turnout did not happen. But you know what? We have to make it happen the next time.
Okay,
That's how you do this.
Okay, all right.
That's how you play the game. Now, this holds true even if it turns out Kerry wins. All right? Because he should have won going away.
But, let's talk about Ohio for a minute, okay?
Yeah.
There are, the Secretary of State, J. Kenneth Blackwell, estimated that 175,000 provisional ballots have been submitted in Ohio, though some estimates have ranged as high as 250,000. This is directly, in relation to that last, that midnight, ruling that they could challenge votes, which was a strategic...
Go to the high end.
That was a strategic sabotaging of the election process in Ohio.
But those numbers...
Yeah.
Go to the high end.
Right.
Go to the 250. Don't go with Blackwell's 175 because of the challenges. You understand what I'm saying?
I absolutely do. Provisional ballots must first be reviewed to confirm the voter's validity before the ballot is certified and the vote is counted. Provisional ballots will begin to be reviewed 11 days after the election. In 2000, 90% of Ohio's provisional ballots ended up counting.
All right, now let's do some math here.
Okay.
What's 90% of 250,000?
Yeah, around 235.
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
What's the margin in Ohio? Less than 125,000.
So this is important stuff.
So if these votes, if 90% of them end up counting, and those votes break for Kerry, because those were people who were new voters or people who had trouble at the polls, and those voters tended to go to Kerry, then Kerry might run George W. Bush even in Ohio, or maybe even beat him by, like, 537 votes, maybe, like Bush won in Florida 4 years ago.
Okay.
It's possible.
Okay.
It is still possible.
Okay.
So, as far as I'm concerned, John Kerry, John Edwards have no business conceding anything, and they didn't, and have not conceded anything. This is what the vice presidential candidate, Senator John Edwards, had to say early this morning. Let's go to that.
John Kerry and I made a promise to the American people that in this election, every vote would count, and every vote would be counted.
Yeah, except for the ones that are on faulty memory cards stuck in a Diebold counting machine.
Tonight, we are keeping our word, and we will fight for every vote.
Okay, I hope they stick to
you
that.
You heard him.
I heard him, and I want to believe him, and I just don't want them to concede until this thing is really done.
It's not over.
That's right. Lisa in Michigan, how are you? How you doing? Good morning.
Hey, Lisa.
Well, not fine.
Yeah, I know.
But I just wanted to go on record to say that I do not believe these results, not for a minute.
Yep.
As far as what I've been paying attention to.
In terms of all votes or in Michigan or in Ohio?
In everything with the traditionally strong Republican states.
Okay.
Ohio.
Okay.
Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are not the numbers that were showing, not anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't showing anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, Lisa makes an interesting point. Because, you know, if you looked at the lines and lines and lines of people, that's the first thing I thought of when I woke up this morning. When I looked at the raw vote total, and then I said, wait a minute, people waiting 2-3 hours to vote? How in the world is it that there's, 105,000, 106,000 votes or whatever the number is, and there were all these people waiting all this time to vote, and something didn't connect there?
Is that how you felt, Lisa? Yeah. Okay. That's all right. Okay, that's all right. Yeah, I mean, exactly. You know, I mean, it just seemed that everything that we were led to believe just didn't even play. You know, as far as the numbers turning out, the numbers that, you know, we're going to, you know, the undecideds that we're going to break the other way, it just doesn't add up with the numbers that we're seeing.
Yeah, and, you know, the whole moral values thing, which I know I didn't want to say that word because I knew it would set you off, but the whole moral values, we have to get into that because that's disgusting.
Well, that's how he baited them. He said, you know, if you hate gay people, come on in, and while you're here, vote for
you. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be back with Tim Noah from Slate Magazine after this. It's 43 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza man.
Hey, you're not the pizza man. You're the cable guy again.
Price patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a 4-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You've already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Don't let the cable shark raise your rates. Switch to DirecTV today.
New customers only. Annual programming commitment required.
Call American Satellite at 1-800-264-0071. That's 1-800-264-0071. Ask how you can get 3 free months of HBO and Cinemax. Call 1-800-264-0071.
At $4.99 a month per second on each of decimal receipt.
Offer ends 2-28-05. Call now.
Are you losing your hair? Is that bald spot getting bigger? Is your hair looking thinner? Why aren't you using Avacor, the hair growth treatment that has helped thousands of people just like you regrow their hair?
I am 39 years old. I've been slowly balding over the last 10 years. Thanks to Avacor, my hair is coming back and I couldn't be more excited.
The best product that I've tried.
Avacor is the product of the 21st century.
If you're losing your hair and haven't tried Avacor yet, how about a free month supply? We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Avacor is proven to successfully stop hair loss and regrow hair.
Call 800-662-8168 for your risk-free trial of Avacor. Call now, 800-662-8168. That's 800-662-8168. And remember, all of today's orders will receive an additional month's supply of Avacor absolutely free. Call 800-662-8168.
Like when I'm in my house alone.
This is Jim.
Jim Brewer Unleashed.
And he's so excited about his new show on Sirius Raw Dog 147.
Yeah.
He's gotten himself in a bit of trouble by resorting to D&D.
Nothing but the truth.
That's right.
Because at the end of the day, that's all you got.
Drinking and dialing.
Raw Dog.
Help keep Jim Brewer on the air.
Every day.
And off the phone.
Is it on Wednesdays?
Jim Brewer Unleashed. 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Every day.
Only on Sirius Raw Dog 147. Comedy.
Take a chance.
Uncensored.
In today's world, all voices must be heard. That's why our local Optimist Club sponsors an oratorical contest for local young people. The contest lets kids gain experience in public speaking.
If I could change the world.
It inspires today's youth to motivate and inform others through the art of public speaking. And it gives them an opportunity to compete for college scholarships. The Optimist Oratorical Contest.
You can make a difference too.
Bringing out the best in kids.
I started hearing voices telling me, you're dying, you're dying. I couldn't make them stop. My heart kept speeding up and slowing down. Now I feel paranoid all the time and I can't tell what is real and what isn't. I'm on medication, but it doesn't help. Sometimes I believe I'm already dead and in hell.
Unfortunately, this 19-year-old learned that happiness and a heightened sense of touch aren't the only side effects of ecstasy. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Serious. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. TV personality Luke Perry.
All right, I got a little pop quiz for you. It's about me. What was my zip code? What city was it in? Name three kids I hung out with in the lunchroom. Name three kids your child hangs out with in the lunchroom.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
There's a good reason why doctors and dentists are always washing their hands. Soap and hot water remove harmful bacteria, including the bugs that cause food-related illnesses. Keep it clean in the kitchen. Wash hands, utensils, and work surfaces thoroughly before preparing and eating a meal after handling raw poultry, meat, eggs, and seafood. This reminder brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
To better banking deals, Personal Journal provides practical guidance you can use. Call now and take advantage of the Journal's special introductory offer. Save 55% off the Journal's newsstand price when you order an 8-week subscription for just 45 cents a day. This offer is available for a limited time to new subscribers in the continental U.S. Don't miss out. Call 800-889-1001. That's 800-889-1001 for the Wall Street Journal.
The hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
We're trying to keep some consistency. I'm going to do my dream from last night because it's kind of horrifying.
Uh-oh.
You know what I mean? My therapist asked me to write these down, so I do. And then we're going to get right back to the news. All right, here we go. I'm trying to do this show. All right, trying is the key concept here. I got my M&Ms, my coffee. Mark Riley is here. Good morning. I'm Mark Maron. Mark Maron. Mark Maron. Damn. I just keep looking at the TV screen, and the map of America looks all red. I'm Mark Maron. Mark Maron. On the screen, red states on the map start pulsing and flashing like an angry heart. Boom, 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 boom. The thumping keeps getting louder and louder until the TV screen explodes. Glass flies everywhere, and the studio starts filling up with burning, bloody red slime. I climb up on the desk desk with Kalo and Riley, but the red slime keeps rising. We're screwed. I start screaming, ah! Luckily, just then, Wayne Gelman paddles in on an inflatable raft and says, get in. I'm Wayne Gelman. So me and Riley and Kalo and Wayne all get into the raft just as the pressure of the red slime tide shoots us out of the 41st floor window in a shower of glass, and we fall all the way down, down, down. Somehow we landed right side up in the East River. Wow, we're alive. We made it. It's a nice day in New York. Maybe a little humid, but no biggie. I reach into my bag and pull out some Tupperware. I say, I made brownies. Here, have one. So we all sat in the raft eating brownies, watching the sunrise. Mmm, extra butter. That's the key. Don't ever skimp on the butter. I woke up, and my bed was filled with Band-Aids. So now, before we get our guests on the phone, Dan Pashman, Senator Lewis and Linda Pashman just came in and said Andrew Card is making a statement, which we'll have for you, a clip from it on the air after the next break.
Yes.
But basically he's saying...
He's saying that, and Andrew Card, of course, is President Bush's chief of staff. He is saying that Secretary of State Kenneth Blackwell in Ohio says that Bush's margin of victory in that state precludes the provisional ballots trumping him. In other words, Kerry cannot win if he took all of the provisional ballots. That's what Blackwell is saying.
But your speculation is, because I've got the numbers right here. They're, you know, Bush at 2,793,592, 51%. Kerry at 2,656,295, 49%. It's a difference of 137,297 votes. And, you know, the numbers we're getting on the provisional ballots is at least 175,000.
Yeah.
So what's he doing? Is this is he calling?
It's called helping.
And he's
on Blackwell's part.
Right, but is Card bluffing? Is he pushing the Democratic lawyers to the wall? Is, you know, what is really going on there? And what does happen? I mean, Kerry does have to concede this thing for it to be done, yes?
Well, he doesn't technically have to concede this thing. What could happen is this, and ask yourself this question, Mark. It is now 8 minutes before 6 o'clock on the East Coast. Andrew Card made this statement now, in real time, okay?
Right.
Why, if Bush was so sure he won Ohio, didn't he wait till 8 o'clock and make the statement himself?
Interesting question. Why don't we get our guest on to see if he can help us out with some of this stuff. He is joining us from Washington, D.C., Slate Chatterbox correspondent. Good morning, Tim Noah.
Good morning.
Hi, hey, Tim.
Tim, you guys over at Slate had us all excited.
I know. It was, well... It
How
was,
do you explain that?
It was looking like Kerry had it nailed down.
Based on what?
Based on exit polls.
All right. Okay.
So you guys had exit polling that showed Kerry clearly in the lead, huh?
That's right.
So is there any reason that we shouldn't suspect that something has gone horribly wrong, even, you know, criminally wrong?
Well, that's, I don't know about that, but, you know, it's not over. They're not done counting the votes in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, Andrew Card is now saying that he's being told by the Secretary of State in Ohio, of course, a fellow Republican, that it's over and that Bush has Ohio and therefore the necessary electoral votes.
Well, that's possible, but I think we're going to need to see some of the numbers. Those provisional ballots, I've seen some numbers that say there could be up to 250,000 of them.
Yeah, we've got those numbers. Now tell me, Tim, what do you know about this? Does Kerry have to concede? Can Bush just declare victory and that be the end of it? No, right?
I don't think it's it's a question of somebody conceding or somebody declaring victory. I think it's a question of what the Electoral College tells us. And we should know that relatively soon, I think, unless there's some legal challenges. And there may be. I just don't know. I don't know what exactly the lawyers were up to last night. I saw some reports that the Bush lawyers were out in force last night in the courts. You know, we just need to find out.
Tim, young people and first-time voters did not seem to turn out, at least from the numbers that we're seeing, in substantial enough numbers to swing this thing toward John Kerry. A lot of people up through yesterday were saying that they were excited by the number of young people that they thought were coming out. What happened?
I don't know. I mean, this has been, you know, this has been the most consistent disappointment in politics for the last 25, 30 years. The failure of young people to get interested in electoral politics.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you another thing. Come on, now, let's be honest, okay? You had that late-night overruling, you know, in Ohio of the ability to challenge. So they were able to challenge all these people's ability to vote. You have, you know, machine failures in some districts in Ohio, and also the understaffing at the polling places. I mean, was this all part of the Republican strategy from where you're sitting? I mean, just, you know, yeah, entertain me. Indulge me, Tim.
Well, sure. I mean, the Republican strategy has been to depress turnout. We saw some really appalling things in the days before the election.
Mm-hmm.
Including a there was a flyer that was meant to discourage African Americans from going to vote, saying that you could lose your children if you if you were not eligible to vote and you voted anyway. I mean, it was just absurd, ghastly stuff.
Yeah,
Jim, what do you make of the idea that a large number of people turned out around issues of moral values?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it was a very peculiar election in the sense that I gather the exit polls indicated that people didn't think that Bush was doing a particularly good job, and yet they voted for him anyway.
He was able to sort of, like, you know, scare some people with terrorism and then scare some people with gay people.
That's right. I mean, Thomas Frank has written a wonderful book called What's the Matter?
Yeah, we talked to him. Yeah, it's a great book.
That looks at this question of sort of why is it that people vote against their economic interests and get distracted by these values questions.
Because there's a better world coming.
The right never makes any headway anyway.
There's a better world coming. You know, why not just accept the pain of this one? If you do the right thing, you'll get to the next one.
Yeah, right. Tim, you are an advocate of abolishing the Electoral College?
I am, yeah.
Tell us why.
Well, I think that it's undemocratic. I think that when you have an election, that you should just sort of see how many people want this guy to be president, how many people want that guy to be president, and whoever gets the most votes should win.
Well, shouldn't you, along with that, make voting mandatory then?
No, I don't think it's necessary to make voting mandatory. I just think this is how most people understand democracy to work. And instead, in the United States, we have this really cockamamie system where people don't really choose the president. States choose the president. And,
right, but you know, but we're looking at a number of as high as like 48% of the people who were registered didn't even bother to go out and vote.
Well, that's that's a separate issue. I don't think that those people are necessarily discouraged by the Electoral College, but certainly those people who do choose to vote should get to vote for president and not for. The way it is now, you're voting for your state's choice of president. Now, Bush seems to have won the popular vote and by a pretty clear margin.
Right.
So I don't think, assuming Bush wins in the Electoral College, there's going to be any great injustice there, like
okay.
There was in 2000. But still, it's all.
We got to go. We got to go. We got to go, Tim. Thanks for talking to us.
I appreciate it,
Tim. Buddy.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. You know, man, so this wasn't the, you know what, dude, we got to talk about
it's
these
okay.
moral
issues. It's okay.
I'm all right.
All right.
We got to talk about these moral issues.
We got to talk about the moral issues. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk with you on the phones. We're also going to talk with our good friend Jim Moore, live from Austin, Texas.
He's got to be pissed.
In the next hour of Morning's Edition here on Air America Radio.
Learning water safety is just one way you can make your family and your community safer. Your local Red Cross also offers training in other life-saving skills, like first aid, CPR, and AED. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Sign up for a class today at your local American Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org for more information.
Hey, Mom, I'm going to a dance with some friends. Don't worry, I won't drink alcohol.
But the next day, I'll sleep a lot and not say much. Although a few days later...
Then I'll be back to my normal self, and you'll forget about it until...
The next weekend, I'm the same way. But this time, I don't get happy again.
You may not know much about the drug ecstasy.
This is crazy.
crazy, folks. It's Morning Sedition. I am Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
We are trying to keep it together here, but, man, we are getting screwed in Ohio. There's no doubt about it. Right, Riley?
Yeah. That's right.
It's not funny, man.
It's not over, though. It's not over.
Right
now,
you know,
the count is 254 to 252.
It's crazy.
So we need
man.
To be clear. There are three states still left in play. Iowa, 7 electoral votes. New Mexico, 5 electoral votes. Ohio, 20 electoral votes.
And let's remember the words of Walden O'Dell, the chief executive of Diebold, quote, committed to helping Ohio deliver its electoral votes to this president next year. There were machine problems in some districts in Ohio.
Yes.
There was that last second overruling of the court's inability.
Of two courts.
Yes.
Two courts ruled that the challengers could not be at the polling sites.
There are now up to 250,000 provisional ballots that need to be counted. Andrew Carr got on television and said that, you know, Bush won Ohio. That is not the case. It is not clear.
Nothing's been certified, that's for sure.
Yeah, if there's that many provisional ballots, dude, I mean, they need to be recounted and they need to be, you know, really sort of like gone over, you know, clearly as to how many of those people were and allowed to vote. Because in past elections in Ohio, it's been up to 90%.
90% of the provisional ballots were turned out to be valid.
And
not invalid, valid.
I do want to say also, you know, outside of being upset with people that didn't vote, which is about 48% of registered voters, the youth vote didn't turn out. A lot of people decided that this was beneath them, and now we're stuck with a bunch of Christo-fascist theocrats who are going to make it, you know, even more horrendous in this country than it has been, which is completely disturbing that so many people did not exercise their civic duty to vote. But I do want to say that... Some in the red states, my friends, you know, 41% of people voted for Kerry in Georgia, 43% voted for Kerry in North Carolina, 46% of the people voted for Kerry in Colorado, 44% of the people voted for Kerry in Arizona, 40% of the people voted for Kerry in Kentucky, and 38% of the people who voted in Texas voted for Kerry. There is people out there. There is a movement starting. No matter what happens here, you know, we've got to keep our eye in the, you know, on the game, on the ball, and do the work necessary to make the Democratic Party come back together, to make voices be heard in this country.
You know, you hit it right on the head, Mark, because you start with those six states that you just mentioned, and you start to build the Democratic Party in those six states. And remember that one, two, three of them, actually four of them, are from the old Confederacy.
Uh-huh.
Georgia, North Carolina, Kentucky, and Texas. Now, the late Maynard Jackson, who at one time wanted to, was actually going to contest the chairmanship of the Democratic National Committee,
yeah,
said that he had a plan to actually go to these southern states, the 11 states of the old Confederacy, and rebuild the Democratic Party, tough though that may be, in those states. And when you start talking about 41% in Georgia, 43% in North Carolina, 40% Kentucky, 38% in Texas, Bush's home state, that is... those are the plants that now need to be watered and nurtured.
And we also got to solve this legal issue. I mean, there's so many of these votes are suspect. And I just, you know, I don't know how it's going to play out. And I got to figure out what we got to do here to do everything we can to question this thing and to make sure.
A national voting system. It is now, I believe, no longer valid to leave this only up to the states. There are just too many different machines, too many different means that machines can be sabotaged, that people's votes can end up not counting, voter intimidation, voter suppression. There has got to be some federal standard set, and the states are going to have to hew to that standard.
You know what's really, you know, frightening is that, you know, Karl Rove said, you know, 4 years ago that 4 million evangelicals stayed home in 2000, and at last count, Bush led the popular vote by just under 4 million votes cast. It's even lower than that. You know, how do you get them out? Well, the gay marriage ban on the ballot in 11 states was a big help. I mean, you know, look at these. Look at what mobilized people to vote for our president. In Arkansas, you know, the gay marriage ban, 75% of the people passed it. 77% in Georgia, 75% in Kentucky, 59% in Mississippi, 86% in...
that was 86%
in
Mississippi.
66% in Montana, North Dakota, 73%. He mobilized these people. He got the... If you weren't scared enough of terrorists, maybe your fear of homosexuals would drive you towards Bush.
It is a scary proposition, but it also shows
disappointing.
It is disappointing. But Mark, it also means there's opportunity. There are opportunities for the Democrats to go to people and speak to them where they live about issues that pertain directly to them and some of those moral values issues that Bush apparently got people to the polls with and beat the Republicans at their own game. Now, last night, actually early this morning, John Edwards, because John Kerry has not spoken essentially since last evening. John Edwards got, I saw him, I think it was like 2-something this morning.
Yeah.
Spoke to some supporters about the fact that they are not yet giving up in the fight for John Kerry to be president.
It's been a long night, but we've waited 4 years for this victory. We can wait one more night.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we got to stay on top of this. We're going to take some calls, 866-303-2270. I see some of you are on the phone already. We're going to listen to as little as possible of Andrew Card to make him seem like the evil bastard that he is. It's 12 past the hour. You're listening to Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. If you want to add your 2 cents, give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
Americans have a problem that few people are talking about, the failure of relationships, dating, and marriage in this country. Divorce and depression has skyrocketed to critical levels, and it's obvious that simply getting married will not solve this problem. A bowling league can get you married. That's not good enough for the mental health professionals who are behind Theradate.com. Our goal is to promote long-term bonding relationships that truly last. Theradate.com has no gimmicks, no pop psychology. Maybe that's what makes us really unique. No personality profiles or target groups to pitch to. Instead, we base our site on a revolutionary matching and compatibility system, originally available only for use by therapists. A matching system utilizing over 80 years of psychological research. Log on to Theradate.com to see why Good Morning America, The New York Times, The San Francisco Chronicle, and dozens of other media outlets have showcased Theradate.com's unique matchmaking system. That's www.theradate.com. Check us out. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
This Sunday, Halloween isn't over till the Simpsons Theater. It's an all-new Treehouse of Horror special.
Homer, I can foretell people's deaths.
Do me! What I die of? Much happiness? Naked girl avalanche?
Then, it's the only comedy funny enough to follow The Simpsons. The Emmy Award-winning Best Comedy Arrested Development.
I'm tired of trying to find happiness through lies and self-medicating.
It is a struggle.
If you need me, I'll be at the bar.
It's all new seasons of The Simpsons and Arrested Development. This Sunday at 8, 7 Central, only on Fox.
Mother Jones Magazine is your source for independent investigative journalism, and the November issue is on newsstands now. The jam-packed issue features Hell No, our special package on U.S. soldiers who are refusing to fight in Iraq. Also in this issue, read about how the U.S. has outsourced 20,000 military jobs to private companies and how your tax dollars fund a Republican group that helps to topple foreign governments. It's all in the new November issue of Mother Jones Magazine, on newsstands now. Mother Jones, because you need independent news.
Like when I'm in my house alone.
This is Jim.
Jim Brewer Unleashed.
And he's so excited about his new show on Sirius Raw Dog 147.
Yeah!
He's gotten himself in a bit of trouble by resorting to D&D.
Nothing but the truth.
That's right.
Because at the end of the day, that's what you got.
Drinking and dialing.
Raw Dog.
Help keep Jim Brewer on the air.
Every day.
And off the phone.
Is it on Wednesday?
Jim Brewer Unleashed. 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Every day.
Only on Sirius Raw Dog 147. Comedy.
Take a chance.
Uncensored.
Hello, this is Alex Trebek for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you are blind or unable to read because of physical handicap, we will send you by mail recorded selections from leading magazines. If you want 8 hours of great writing on special speed cassettes 6 times a year, do let us know. Write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Remember, it's free. Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Thank you.
Serious. Our young people need us now more than ever.
Everyone's popping pills and smoking grass.
Sure, they look up to our superstars, but what they really want is the time and energy of caring adults who make a difference in their lives. A personal hero. You can be that hero. Get involved and help keep our young people drug-free. Your time is their future.
He's not on drugs. He's just weird.
To learn more, call 1-800-729-6686. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Like income tax preparation.
Please pull up to the second window for your refund.
Unfortunately, not everything can be convenient, but Radio Shack is. With over 7,000 stores, there's probably one in your neighborhood where you'll find the helpful service you want, plus the latest electronics, accessories, wireless phones, and gift ideas. So even though we'd all like a little more convenience...
Yeah, I'm here to take your driver's license photo.
It's nice to know Radio Shack really offers it. Radio Shack, you've got questions, we've got answers.
For just 45 cents a day, you can have 8 weeks of the Wall Street Journal delivered to your home or office every business day. That's just 45 cents a day for the insights, analysis, and news relevant to the business of your life. Every business day, the Wall Street Journal delivers the top news from every market, industry, and corner of the globe. But because life isn't just business, the Journal's innovative personal journal section translates today's news into the useful information you need to save time and money. From scoring travel discounts to better banking deals, Personal Journal provides practical guidance you can use. Call now and take advantage of the Journal's special introductory offer. Save 55% off the Journal's newsstand price when you order an 8-week subscription for just 45 cents a day. This offer is available for a limited time to new subscribers in the continental U.S. Don't miss out. Call 800-889-1001. That's 800-889-1001 for the Wall Street Journal.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Yeah.
Morning Sedition. Let's not forget the words of Walden O'Dell. Quote, committed to helping Ohio deliver its electoral votes to the president next year. He is the CEO or the, what would you call him?
CEO.
Chief executive at Diebold. Those machines were breaking down in some districts, and now like that, and also the understaffing at the polls, and also the allowing of the challenges has now led to a situation, a quagmire. It's an electoral quagmire in Ohio. And it goes against everything that Andrew Card came out and said. Andrew Card came out and basically said that the Secretary of State, Kenneth
Blackwell
said that the number of provisional ballots are not enough to bridge the gap. I know. But, you know, that's not the numbers we have, and there's something fishy going on. Let's hear what Card had to say, the abbreviated version.
President Bush has a lead of at least 140,000 votes. The Secretary of State's office has informed us that this margin is statistically insurmountable even after the provisional ballots are considered. This all adds up to a convincing Electoral College victory, as well as a strong endorsement of President Bush by his fellow Americans in the popular vote. President Bush decided to give Senator Kerry the respect of more time to reflect on the results of this election. The president will be making a statement later today.
Well, what does that mean? Parse that language for me, Riley, because it doesn't sound like he was saying anything decisive, that's for sure.
He was saying, give up, Kerry. That's what he was saying.
Okay,
so
this is
it. He was saying, essentially, we got the numbers, we're taking Ohio, give up. What he really was hoping was that some of the television networks would then say, well, okay, if that's the case, if Blackwell says it's statistically impossible, then we might as well give it to him also, and that would put him over the top.
But that's not the numbers that we got.
No, not the numbers that we got, but it doesn't matter. See, what they're trying to do
is push him.
He's trying to influence the media. The bottom line here is if Bush were that sure of himself, he would not have Andrew Card, the Mo Howard of the Bush administration, pushed out to say something.
Right.
Bush himself, maybe in another hour, maybe about 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, would come out himself and say, look, we have the numbers. John Kerry, I'd appreciate it if you'd concede. He hasn't said that.
Right. So
he's not going
to
say it.
He's pushing Kerry to play his hand out here.
He's pushing Kerry because, and he's also doing a very sly version of Who's Your Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to give Kerry the respect to consider the numbers. You ain't my father, punk.
And he hasn't had the respect for anything or anybody, you know, before. Why should it start now? Christina in Tennessee, how are you?
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey.
Good morning.
What's going on?
I would like to just make a comment to all of those out there that are sitting on the edge of the seat as I am, but absolutely awake for the first time, saying to all those that for all the work that we have done to try to get Kerry in office, and he still has a chance, and not to give up, but more importantly, whether or not he gets in office, to continue the fight, to continue to fight this barrage of lies, and that America has to start getting in action and fighting for our rights and things that are being taken away from us little by little, and that Kerry needs not to make the mistake that Gore did and concede and go to the very end and continue that.
I couldn't agree with you more, Christine. Yeah, Chris, you're absolutely right.
And you're in Tennessee, and 43% of the people down there did vote for Kerry, and you're absolutely right. Thank you for calling us.
We appreciate it.
That's going to be the biggest battle for us is not to crumple into self-pity or disappointment or into sore loserness. As you said, Mark Riley, this is politics.
This is politics. You play the game to win. But every politician I know, every successful politician, Mark Maron, including Bill Clinton, the most successful Democrat in a half century, has lost an election.
And so many of us, liberals and Democrats, are fairly apocalyptic when it comes to this presidency, because it is probably the most frightening thing I've seen in my lifetime, though that lifetime is not, you know, that long. But, I mean, it is, you know, it is hard to fight the feelings of doom and gloom. But like we said, and like Christina just said on the phone, we're still in the game here. They're trying to force Kerry's hand. I don't think he's going to do it, not from what Edward said earlier.
He's not giving up yet.
And it could take up to 11 days to count these provisional ballots. So let's take some more calls. Mary in Texas, how are you?
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm not good at all. It's just so hard to, you know, that lady said what I'm feeling, and my husband, this is the first time me and my husband have gotten this into it. Now, my mom's been into politics her entire life, and I've always just kind of like, you know, went along with it.
Right.
But, boy, I've just learned so much, and it's just so frustrating to know, at least I feel like, to know the truth about so many things, you know, that he's done, like Medicare. You know, they just lied. The actuary just lied to Congress to tell them how much it was going to cost. You know, not the right amount. There's so many things they've done that are so wrong. And, you know, look what happened. How did that happen? And you do just want to go throw your arms up. But you can't. That's how you feel.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. But you know what, Mary? The work for putting a progressive president in office, A, isn't done yet because Kerry has not conceded. But even if he does concede, then the work on 2008 starts tomorrow.
And also the way they did it, Mary, was exploiting people's fears. It was not about, you know, telling people the truth. It wasn't about, you know, giving people what they needed. It was about telling people to be afraid, primarily of terror and primarily of gay people and a moral slide that this country is on. They scared people into voting for them, and that fear overwhelmed their ability to see the truth. You are a truth seer, and we are with you here, and we're going to do everything we can to continue the fight.
So can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Thank you for calling.
My son, you know, he goes to school where it's all, you know, Republican, conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he'll talk out, and he's only 11 years old, and he's like, these kids don't know anything. They're telling me Saddam Hussein had nuclear weapons.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's exactly what you see. That's all they think is that they're scared, and they don't, so misinformed. Huge thing. They're misinformed.
Absolutely. And they're willing to take false information as truth because they've been taught to only believe one thing. It's a sad state of affairs. Thanks for calling, Mary. A lot of people are worked up. We got a call from San Francisco. John, listen to the quake.
The quake. Hey,
what's
John.
Up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm
how you doing?
3:30 here.
I can't
get to sleep because of all this mess. It's unbelievable.
Horrendous.
But anyway, what I wanted to say, I was a precinct walker out there today for the Democratic Party. I've been making phone calls the last few weeks, too.
Uh-huh.
I can't believe I was page after page after page of people who hadn't voted by 4 p.m.
Oh,
really?
So you're saying that the turnout was really low, and you're looking at the
this is San Francisco, you know, the liberal, you know, capital of the world, and It just seemed really low to me.
You know, there's no indication that what you're saying isn't true. It seems that way across the country, that a lot of people didn't think it was important enough, or that a lot of people are like, they're both the same. What difference does it make? You know, who cares? I got other things to do. And, you know, I hold those people responsible. I mean, it's just crazy. It's just crazy to think that this election didn't matter, and it's not over. And thank you for confirming my disappointment, John.
Yeah, I wanted to run one other thing by you.
Okay.
I'm kind of dismayed at the whole Democratic Party organization. I think Terry McAuliffe is a joke. I don't know what you guys feel, but the way they ran this campaign was just, what were they doing?
That may be true, but, you know, I think that the way we got to start thinking in terms of throwing blame around, as Mark Riley said, because I'm that way too in some respects. I'd rather just, pretend, you know, like there's somebody to blame. The truth of the matter is the Democratic Party has been fractured, and even James Carville said that, you know, there's a fundamental problem in the way they mobilize the electorate.
Well, see, and that's the thing. Don't mourn, organize.
Yeah.
Do not mourn. First of all, it's not over.
Yeah.
But don't mourn, organize. Maybe there does have to be a new paradigm shift. I hate to use that kind of terminology, but a different way of going about organizing people. I know some people here in New York that are not part of the Democratic Party per se, but they are extraordinary organizers. They go door to door and they keep people engaged. You don't just see them when there's an election. Maybe the Democrats are going to have to start looking at their constituents as something other than people that are going to come out when you tell them to.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, we won't be voting from internment camps as Democrats, you know, but we'll see.
You're scaring me, Barry.
I'm sorry, buddy. I think the worst. Chris in Atlanta, thanks for holding on. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Chris.
It's a girl.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm still your buddy, right?
Buddy.
Thanks for what you guys are doing. Awesome. I'm glad we finally have somebody to talk to, especially in Atlanta. You know,
okay, yeah, absolutely.
As you were saying, the Confederacy, it's a scary place.
41% people, though. 41% of Georgia came out to vote for Kerry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, but, yeah, they're, yeah.
Yeah, it's not 50, but it's not chocolate.
We did get some credit.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think it was Stalin that said those who vote decide nothing. Those who count the votes decide everything. Mm. And I just want you guys to keep your level of suspicion healthy. I don't want to talk about this vote as if it's valid. I don't want to hear people talking about it as if we're just accepting it. It's not just about not mourning, but it's about questioning this entire process and questioning. I mean, one of my biggest fear things about this election was going to the polls and seeing that word Diebold on that machine. You know,
absolutely.
That is scary.
we're fighting this fight, and we're not going to stop. I quoted the guy, Walden O'Dell. He was committed to delivering Ohio. It's all very suspect. Thanks for your call. We will stay on top of that.
We do have to stay on top of it because there is nothing wrong with questioning. You know, I was on CNN yesterday. This guy said something about questioning being the same as undermining. That's nonsense.
Yeah, Jim Morris coming up. He's got to be livid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's going to be full of the juice.
I know. We'll talk to him in a second. And your calls later.
Biodiesel not only keeps farmers on their land, but provides a renewable source for America to reduce dependence on foreign oil. Farm Aid President Willie Nelson at this year's press conference.
Biodiesel, I think, is our chance to grow our way out of the situation that we find ourselves in.
By growing fuel, farmers are leading us to a more hopeful future.
There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's called biodiesel.
Neil Young also chimed in on this veggie fuel.
Willie and I do this all the time. We just feel good. We're not polluting. It's American grown fuel. It doesn't damage anything.
If you back it into the garage and leave the motor running and go to sleep, you'll just gain weight.
Learn more online at biodiesel.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Howard Stern in college football, NFL, the Weather Channel, BBC, it's getting late, it's even the cheese at the gate, Score TV, the Music Box, commercial free discovery, MLB and Patriot with left and right to call the shots, Matt's Infection, John McMullen, Laura Ingram, Michael Reagan, Alex Bennett, Frank the Factor, Traffic, Savage, Adam Pryor, Randy Rhodes, and MVP on his comedy and all the stars.
Life is a rock.
This is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Bill emailed wanting to know if he can negotiate with a sofa. I'll help him out with this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Bill emailed needing negotiation help. Dave, do you think you can get something for less, even if the item is on sale? There's a sofa I'm looking at, and it's on sale. Can I ask to get it at a lower price? Can you ask? Yes, you can ask. Will they give it to you at a lower price? I don't know. They for sure won't, unless you ask. And if you do ask, they will not get mad and not sell you the sofa.
Oh, that woman asked for less? Just the sale's off. We're not going to sell it to her.
It's never happened. Just go in there and you say, you know, and I would do it with $100 bills, by the way. Just spread some $100. I mean, I don't know what they're asking for the sofa. Maybe it's a $2,000 sofa on sale for $1,500. Why don't you spread a 10 $100 bills or 11 $100 bills and say, I've got my furniture budget. That's all I've got. And if you want to sell it, it's sold. Right there's the money. Will they take it? I don't know. But play with it a little. Have some fun. They're certainly having fun taking your money now. Ask every time.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey. Serious.
What was your name again? Barry?
Johnson.
Barry Johnson.
Yeah.
The U.S. Postal Service wants to remind everyone this year to protect themselves from becoming victims of identity theft. Your personal information is a gold mine for identity thieves. Identity theft is taking key pieces of someone's personal information, such as a name, address, or social security number, in order to impersonate them. For more information, log on to consumer.gov. A message from the U.S. Postal Service.
And news analysis on issues affecting all of us. More than ever, we need to stay in touch. And there's no better way than reading The Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. Try it for 4 weeks free. You'll then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free. Call now for The Forward. 800-253-7800. That's 800-253-7800.
Head driving to Valero, gotta fill her up fast. I'll fill my tank to the brim with the warmest gas. Head driving to Valero, make a turn for the better.
Get more vroom for your buck. Valero, value, variety, vroom.
The Maturity Report.
Somebody posted on the blog last night. He said, I can't stand hearing Janina Sam bicker. I don't think I'm going to listen to the show again. It makes for a lousy show.
We had four other people who said...
I don't have a problem with the content of the show. I just... The open went from, like, Sasha's music to, like, country to, like, Bruce Springsteen. I was like... It, the opening just had more mood swings than... and I'm on lithium, so I would know.
The Maturity Report on Air America Radio.
Before past the hour, Mark Maron here on Morning's Edition with Mark Riley, Air
yes.
America Radio. We're being robbed, I believe. There's an electoral quagmire in Ohio.
It's not over.
It is not over. But it is difficult a situation with Andrew Carr coming out and, you know, making assumptions and making statements that are relatively ungrounded in any sort of truth.
He's just playing to the media, man. He's trying to sucker one of the networks to say, okay, we'll give, I mean, two of them already did, but he's trying to sucker one more network to say, we're giving Ohio to Bush.
You know, just... eats me is that, you know, we've known for over a year about these machines. You know, a lot of people have taken action. We've talked about it on this show. You know, we got Bev Harris, mm-hmm. who is, you know, who has been running this effort to get these boxes, these Diebold boxes out. And now they're in a lot of places, and they did exactly what they thought they were going to do, which is malfunction, which is there were a problem with memory cards. There's no way to figure out, you know, what's real and what isn't real. There's no paper trail. And, you know, it's like on some level, I don't know what the American people are thinking sometimes. I think that, you know, half of them just don't care.
Look, most Americans wouldn't know Diebold if you walked up and said it to them 1,000 times. They have no idea what you'd be talking about?
Did you see Ray Ray? His nose was bleeding.
Oh, man.
Yeah, here's the Palm Pilot for today. Here's the president's schedule. 8 a.m., wake up. Hit snooze button. Why wake up? 9 a.m., wake up. Ah, there's nothing like victory sex. First time in 3 years, I still got it. 10 a.m., call Cheney. Note, say, it's all yours now, buddy. From here on out, you can get me on speed dial, but only if it's you can get me on speed dial, but only if it's really important. 11 a.m., send mass email to Diebold executives. Tell them to check their offshore accounts for a little thank you gift. 12 noon, call Halliburton. Start immediate construction of liberal detention camps. Sorry, re-education camps. 1 p.m., call Dad. Who's Junior now? Two wars and two terms. Beat that, wimp. 2 p.m., call Osama from private line. Say, thanks, buddy, for playing bad cop. Couldn't have done it without you. Take a few months off. I am. 3 to 9 p.m., video golf. Man, my game is rusty. 10 p.m., dance through the White House in my socks and underwear to old-time rock and roll. 12 midnight, bedtime. Call Ramon to get the stuff. Tomorrow I'm going to party like it's 1979. So now we got, is Jim there?
Yeah, I think he is.
From Texas, you know, famous, you know, journalist and tracker of Karl Rove and George Bush shenanigans from the old days. How are you, Jim Moore? What's going on?
You know, I'm just sitting here wondering where you guys get your sense of humor and if I'm going to be looking forward to four more years of these early morning phone calls.
Dude, get used to it, Jim.
Dude, I mean, you know, we've talked to you before. I mean, Well, how are you feeling? You got to be worked up. Are you sort of like, I told you so? Or, you know, what do we need to do now? I mean, what just happened, man? We've been punched.
Well, I mean, what just happened is they ran a major scam in terms of voter suppression, which was reprehensible to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these robocalls in the Carolinas telling ethnic voters that if they showed up and had parking tickets, they were going to be arrested at the voting booths.
Uh-huh.
These kinds of things are, I mean, these are all the mark of Rove, you know, and I don't, you know, the stuff that's going on in Ohio, I'm not on the ground there, but I know the way the guy works, and I know that they're running around to polling places, they were looking to see who's voting, they were trying to get people away from polling places, they're challenging provisional ballots, they're challenging people when they come in. I mean, these are, and what we don't know, and we may never know, is the Diebold factor. Remember, Ohio's where Wally O'Dell is from. That's his home state. The president of Diebold, the guy who said publicly he was committed to giving the president of the United States as many votes as possible.
But playing these little games in the smaller districts within the state, you know, with one district's got machine problems, you know, another district's got understaffed polling, you know, and then, you know, that last minute, you know, ruling to let the votes be challenged. I mean, all that stuff sort of stinks of Rove, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he plays the game on all the different levels that the Democrats don't do. I mean, he plays it in the courtroom. He plays it in the polling place. He plays it with the get out the vote effort. I mean, look at the mailing that went out in West Virginia about banning the Bible and outlawing the Bible, claiming the Democrats were gonna do that. And then in Michigan, the calls in Michigan urging people to go to polls to support John Kerry because he was in favor of gay marriage and it was critical that gay marriage get passed and John Kerry wanted it. I mean, look, this guy knows the way to wage a war, and he's organized in a better way than anybody else, and he doesn't give a damn about what's right or wrong or what's legal or not or what's ethical or what's immoral. He cares about winning.
Jim Moore, a couple of minutes ago, we saw and heard Andrew Card, the president's chief of staff, saying essentially that George W. Bush had 140,000 vote margin in Ohio, and that Kenneth Blackwell, the Secretary of State there, called him or told him that it would be impossible for Kerry to win even once all the provisional ballots were counted. I say he was playing to the media. What do you say?
Well, I'll tell you, here's the thing, Mark. I don't know how many provisional ballots there are. We've heard anywhere from 100,000 to 250,000. And if John Kerry's vote total with 100% of the precincts in right now is well over 100,000, it does become statistically challenging for this guy to win, because I see the difference now is about 140,000 votes. And I mean, you have to assume that out of the provisional ballots, many of them are going to be tossed out because they can't be certified. And then you have to talk about the percentage that are going to end up in Bush's column. So I think it's challenging. But look, don't underestimate these guys. I think what they are doing now is what they did the last go round, and that is to begin what Rove always calls the bandwagon effect and the inevitability of a win for their guy. That this is a case of piling on. Let's get the networks to start talking of us and thinking of us as the winners, and eventually the pressure will build on Senator Kerry to go, oh my God, I just can't put the nation through 11 days of waiting for Ohio to be counted, and so let me get out of the way and let George Bush be reelected. That's the end game.
So, but I don't think he's going to do that, do you?
I don't know. I think that he's got to have people on the ground in Ohio, Mark, who are looking at the number of ballots and the number of challenges that are going to come up, because you know that Rove is going to have a battery of lawyers there, and they could legally file a motion on every single provisional ballot that gets certified and say, we're challenging the certification of this ballot, and that drags it out for months and months on end. But Kerry's in a tough spot. He's been outvoted in terms of the popular vote, and he's got to have this one state to become president of the United States, and he's down a significant number of votes with only one place to get it. His other strategic move, I think, would be to challenge Rove and Bush by saying, I want a statewide recount. There are some punch card ballots that we don't know what the outcome was with those, and I want to look at all the provisional ballots and drag it out the way Bush did, and, you know, let the chips fall where it may. I mean, what the hell? We've got time between now and January 14th whenever the date is in January this year that we have to inaugurate a new president. Why not challenge it and make sure that it's right?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Let me ask you another question about Rove, since you have such an intimate knowledge of his nastiness. I mean, they were able to deliver a certain, you know, probably a good couple, few more million evangelical votes like he promised by exploiting the wedge issue and by, you know, having the amendment to ban gay marriage on like 11 states. Now, does he care that, you know, he's exploiting a very sort of explosive faction of the United States? I mean, is he a religious man in any way?
No, I think Carl's an agnostic. That's the way he's always. I mean, my communications with him and everybody I know here in Texas who's known him, he's fundamentally an agnostic. Look, this whole thing, I think he believes the way fundamentalist Christians believe, but he's not one of them. But the gay rights thing, Mark, was about, that's not so much about what the Republicans want. It's about making the Democrats defend the gay and lesbian vote in America, making the Democrats stand up and say, you know, we don't need this. We don't want to support this. We don't want to vote for this. And that's all Carl wanted. Carl wanted to put them in the position of saying that they support civil unions, that they support the kinds of issues that are anathema to the fundamentalist Christians. It wasn't really about so much what they want as to positioning the Democrats as having to defend an untenable position.
But there's a price to pay for that. I mean, he's culturally retarding this country. I mean, you know,
he doesn't care about that, man. You guys got to know that.
I mean, I do know that. I just want to hear you get working.
No, he doesn't care about that. What he cares about is winning and power and giving the Republican Party at any and all costs the strength and power that it needs for the net. They want to be in complete and utter control of this country and have a Democratic Party on life support for the next 30 years. And he's got a plan. He's looking 10 years out over the horizon, and he's already executing down the road for 10 years for what's coming up then. He's trying to create an environment to get more and more Republicans elected until we're to the point, this is what Karl Rove wants. He wants a Congress and a Senate that is completely Republican, a president Republican, a government that has so little money, a national debt that is so high, and that almost all money coming into the government has to service the national debt, so that there are therefore no social programs whatsoever, and that government basically defends the borders, projects U.S. power into the world, and builds infrastructure, and then gets the hell out of the way, and the Democrats are on life support, and they can't do anything about it.
That sounds like the scariest movie I have ever heard in my life, and it's a reality. Will you stay with us, Jim? Because
sure.
Let's try and infuse some hope for the Democratic Party. And, you know,
I'll give that a shot.
All right, so we'll talk to Jim Moore and more in a second. It's 45 past the hour, Air America Radio.
This Sunday, if you miss Fox's Night of Killer Comedy, you'll live to regret it. Imagine the agony of skipping an all-new Simpsons Treehouse of Horror. Picture the pain of passing on the season premiere of the Emmy Award-winning best comedy, Arrested Development.
Mother of God! Oh!
Just think of the torture of missing television's two biggest comedies now, back-to-back.
This truly is hell!
It's an all-new Simpsons Treehouse of Horror and the season premiere of Arrested Development. Miss them at your own risk. This Sunday at 8, 7 Central, only on Fox.
Hi. Do you care about the environment and America's energy future? Now there's a new way you can take action. You can fight global warming and promote energy independence with Native Energy's Wind Builders program. You can offset the impact of your energy use, your home, your business, even your car, wherever you live, work, or learn. Sign up for Wind Builders and help build new wind farms that'll reduce global warming pollution. Join thousands of individuals and leading brands like Ben & Jerry's, Clif Bar, and Aveda, and favorite bands like REM and Dave Matthews Band, who are already fighting global warming with Native Energy. Join them and help build a new Native American wind farm for just pennies a day. Click the Native Energy button on AirAmericaRadio.com or call 800-924-6826. That's 800-924-6826, or click the Native Energy button on AirAmericaRadio.com. Help build a new Native American wind farm and fight global warming with Native Energy.
I try to teach my children what's important in life. So instead of Fruit Loops cereal, I buy Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's cereal. Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's tastes just as good and has all the same vitamins and minerals, plus more vitamin A and calcium. And we get 50% more cereal for about the same price. Lesson?
I know, it's what's inside that counts.
Look for Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's and over 20 other popular flavors, because Maltomeal means more. Part of a balanced breakfast. Claim based on net weight comparison of 22.5 ounces to 15 ounces. Fruit Loops is a registered trademark of Kellogg Company.
Serious.
Master, I seek wisdom.
Ah, Grasshopper, it is not wisdom you seek, for you have already found that which enlightens the mind.
I mean the number.
The number is infinite, my son. You have found Sirius. You have awoken your dormant spirit to the joy of satellite radio.
I'm just looking for wisdom.
Look no further, Grasshopper, for
now, wisdom radio on Sirius, you know.
Oh. 132.
Now look.
Mind.
Body. Spirit.
Earth. Sirius.
Wisdom Radio.
132.
Sirius.
Here's a safety tip we can all live with. Children should ride in the rear seat whenever possible and should always be buckled up, especially if your car has airbags. Remember, never place a rear-facing child's safety seat in the passenger seat if you have an airbag. Patterns set early become patterns for life. Set them early. It's a safety tip we can all live with. Brought to you by the National Safety Belt Coalition.
Americans play a game. The stakes are very high.
Now stepping to the plate, the Smith family going for a home loan. The loan officer's checking their credit report. This one's going to be close.
Wouldn't you like to know what's in your credit report before you apply for credit? Now you can. Log on to freecreditreport.com and find out how to get your credit report instantly and online for free.
It's a home run.
Log on to freecreditreport.com and win the biggest game of your life. Freecreditreport.com.
To the discriminating driver, a luxurious driving experience isn't an option as much as a requirement. That's why Goodyear developed the new Assurance, featuring Comfort Tread technology. Not only does this tire offer a distinct upscale appearance, it delivers a smooth, quiet, comfortable ride. Assurance, featuring Comfort Tread technology. It's the ultimate accessory for your luxury vehicle. For complete details and the retailer nearest you, call 1-800-GOODYEAR.
For just 45 cents a day, you can have 8 weeks of the Wall Street Journal delivered to your home or office every business day. That's just 45 cents a day for the insights, analysis, and news relevant to the business of your life. Every business day, the Wall Street Journal delivers the top news from every market, industry, and corner of the globe. But because life isn't just business, the Journal's innovative personal journal section translates today's news into the useful information you need to save time and money. From scoring travel discounts to better banking deals, Personal Journal provides practical guidance you can use. Call now and take advantage of the Journal's special introductory offer. Save 55% off the Journal's newsstand price when you order an 8-week subscription for just 45 cents a day. This offer is available for a limited time to new subscribers in the continental U.S. Don't miss out. Call 800-889-1001. That's 800-889-1001 for the Wall Street Journal.
Edition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
It's not over, though.
Dude, I know it's not over, but they screwed us.
I know.
You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, we got to regroup. I mean, you know, everything's in question now. Questions that are going to be hard to answer. I mean, you know, think about it. If as many Democrats and liberals, you know, 10% of the Democrats voted for Bush, all right, number one. Number two, if as many people didn't vote and they were registered to vote, if that's a reality, I just, you know, I'm wondering how the hell are we going to mobilize anything? You know what I mean? These black box voting machines should have, these Devo machines should have been gone. They should have been gone. This was, the awareness was raised over a year ago. I mean, this is just crap. You know what I mean? And so many people are still apathetic, are still disconnected, are still misinformed, or just don't give a rat's. Do you know what I'm saying? And so now, you know, here we are in this muck, and everyone's like, you know, hey, we can't give up. We're going to mobilize. We're gonna pull it together. That's going to take a hell of a lot of work, man.
Well, yeah, and you got to do the work. Karl Rove ain't scared of doing the work. Why yeah. should we be?
Okay, I'm with you, buddy, so let's see what happens.
There you go.
All right, Christine.
Wait a minute, we got Jim Moore still.
Oh, we still got Jim, I'm sorry. Sorry, Jim, how are you, buddy?
Man, you're all lit up, Mark.
Get it up, I'm all worked up.
You are lit up. You're just spacing me out. That's okay. You get me up early in the morning, then shine me on.
You got all lit up. Well, see, on the break here, I'm just trying to keep my head above water, and now I'm going to rely on you to help me do that, Jim.
Well, I'm telling you what, I the thing is, you might as well get it in your head if you're a Democrat that there isn't a quick fix and there isn't a short-term turnaround on this deal. The Republicans and Rove have been developing think tanks and fundraising organizations and surrogate groups and all kinds of things for 20 to 30 years. And those things have come to fruition. They have refined their messages. They've raised their money. They've built their coalitions. And that's why they are winning. And that's why they won this election. The Democrats have to stop thinking short term. And they have to figure out who in the hell they are, what their messages are. They've got to do the same thing. They've got to build strong surrogate groups. They've taken that first step. But they've got to define their messages. I mean, this campaign was about John Kerry saying, I'm not George Bush, and I'm not evil, and you can't get elected. Look, guys, as much as I wanted to see Kerry become president of the United States, you don't get elected president by saying, I would be in Iraq, but I would do a better job of being in Iraq. I think that John Kerry, if he had even sold America an exit strategy and said, here's how I'm getting us out of this mess, that he'd be elected president. No messaging, bad organization. The get-out-the-vote effort was very, very good this time for Democrats, but it wasn't good enough. It was better than last time. But look, the young kids didn't vote for Kerry. The 18 to 34 was the same as the last election.
17%.
Yeah, and the 30 to 44 went down.
But, I mean, dude, I mean, these guys, like, you know, granted, for the last 30 years, they've, you know, redefined the cultural language in their favor. You know, but it just seems to me that, you know, Democrats, progressive, liberals, they're rarely on the same page. They're fragmented in their causes. You know, and so many people didn't vote. I mean, I'm not trying to be hopeless here, but, I mean, you know, to bring everybody together in creative momentum is going to take a lot of anger, and I just hope it's here this time.
Well, I think that there is a lot of anger, but I think the first thing you're going to experience is depression. And I think we're about to go through
fighting it now.
we're going to have to go through all these series of emotions before people get back to work. And in terms of organizing, you cannot think short term. And the Democrats have got to find some candidates, people like Barack Obama and people like that who are the future of the party, and start building the future around them and bringing people up from the ranks. I mean, look, this is what Carl does, man. He's got a farm team, and he goes out and he organizes in these states. And look at what happened in the Dakotas. You know, Daschle lost, and it's probably going to be about 8,000 or 9,000 votes. You know what? That may be those votes may be votes that he went about and suppressed on the Indian reservations.
Yeah.
There. You know what I mean? This is the kind of crap this guy does, and he wins, you know. But
so what do you think? Just, you know, in your eyes, I mean, what do you think it will take, you know, to get Democrats to organize properly?
Do we need a Democratic Karl Rove, Jim?
Yeah, well, that would be helpful, but I'm always hesitant to see one person get as much influence and power as Karl has. But you know, what the Democrats have now in terms of people and pundits and organizers and strategists are – are guys who are around Clinton and they're making a lot of money and they don't want to get out and organize and do this hard work. And yeah, it's always good to have somebody who's the wunderkind and the boy genius in the operation. But really, it's got to happen on a state-by-state basis, and then it has to all be linked in together nationally. Some of these 527s, I think, need to be institutionalized, become permanent organizations and think tanks and fundraisers. And I think there needs to be more sort of these think tanks to help Democrats. Democrats now have to figure out what they are in this new world.
Does that mean Terry McAuliffe has got to go, in your judgment?
Terry's a good fundraiser. I don't think he is the leader of the party.
All right, well, you know, Jim, I'm just like, you know, I'm fighting a tremendous amount of grief attack and anger, and, you know, you certainly helped me out a little bit this morning, and thank you for getting up.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, man, and let me leave you guys with this. We have a saying here in Texas, General Sam Houston, who said, there's nothing more powerful than a man who's in the right and keeps on a coming. So you guys just got to keep on a coming.
Thanks a lot, Jim Moore. Take care. The book is Bush's Brain, which is available at our website at morningsedition.com, How Carl Rove Made George W. Bush Presidential. Like, you know, I don't even want to read anything about him, but right now. But I read the book. It's a good book.
I'm not watching him on TV. I'm not watching him.
Ugh.
You know, and that's assuming he actually is reelected, which he hasn't been yet.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I
need some coffee.
That.
You know what I need? I need a lot of things. I need a new planet. I'm leaving. I'm getting in a capsule. I'm going.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that the door opening?
There's a liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Here we go. Maybe these will help. I don't know. One, we can't say this enough. Try not to spend the day weeping and shrieking at strangers. Try. Two, go to your happy place and completely redecorate. See if that works. Three, okay, you know what? Don't put it off anymore. Just go to cooking school. Keep it simple. That's something you have control over. You know what I mean? Hey, look, the egg didn't break. It's beautiful. Four, whatever bottle you were saving for any special occasion, open it immediately. Live! Live, damn it! Five, today's phrase, just drop it in the conversation. Whatever. And cry. What do we got coming up, man? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make some phone calls to Ohio.
Well, listen, we may not have to make any phone calls to Ohio because we've got Greg Palast coming in here, BBC investigative journalist. He is the man that knows whether this election was stolen. So we'll
you
be talking
told us
to him
it was.
In studio.
Last 2 weeks ago.
That's
right.
In the next hour of Morning Tradition here on Air America Radio.
Average parent thinks they're prepared for a medical emergency. They know if their child has allergies or how to call 911. But the average parent doesn't know how to treat severe burns or what to do when a child stops breathing. You can't always prevent emergencies, but you can be better prepared. Call 1-888-ASK-HRSA for more information. That's toll-free, 1-888-ASK-HRSA. Brought to you by the Emergency Medical Services for Children.
Compromise off, Sirius on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Sirius. It's on.
It's on your windshield and a wiper blade gone awry. Somewhere between where you are and where you're going, there's a Super 8. See you along the way.
This summer, kids eat free at Denny's when you stay at Super 8. See Super8.com for details.
All Super 8 motels are individually owned and operated.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. Despite rampant joblessness, war in Iraq, and a sluggish economy, it looks like Americans have given President George W. Bush 4 more years. While it's not official and provisional ballots in Ohio have not been counted, Bush appears to be sailing to a second term with a 2-point lead in the Electoral College vote and a lead in the popular vote. Democrats have yet to throw it in the towel, but the White House Chief of Staff, Andrew Card, has already said what's on President Bush's mind this hour.
President Bush has a lead of at least 140,000 votes. The Secretary of State's office has informed us that this margin is statistically insurmountable even after the provisional ballots are considered. President Bush decided to give Senator Kerry the respect of more time to reflect on the results of this election. The president will be making a statement later today.
That was Andrew Carr at the Bush campaign headquarters in Washington, D.C. just about a little over an hour ago. The Democrats have yet to concede defeat, and Vice Presidential candidate John Edwards echoed the sentiment of all in the party to keep hope alive.
It's been a long night, but we've waited 4 years for this victory. We can wait one more night.
John Edwards as he appeared last night in Boston. Meanwhile, Ohio emerged as the likely setting for another overtime presidential court fight, with a focus this time on tens of thousands of unaccounted ballots cast by people who would otherwise have been turned away from the polls. Lawyers for President Bush boarded a plane in Washington before dawn, bound for Ohio. They will join hundreds of Republican lawyers already there. Democrats have thousands of lawyers in Ohio already and held off sending any of their trained SWAT teams of election officials a precaution this year because of the close presidential race and the bitter memory of the 36-day recount battle in Florida in 2000. Trailing in the Electoral College count, Kerry campaign did not concede the election. Election law specialists said either side could file lawsuits today to try to get the best footing for evaluating and counting provisional ballots. If Bush succeeds at the second term, he certainly will have the support of Congress, with Republicans increasing their majority in the U.S. Senate. Party snatched Democratic seats in Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Louisiana. Party defeated veteran Democratic politician and Senate Minority Leader Tom Daschle in South Carolina. Daschle has a distinction now of being the first party leader to lose a race for re-election in more than a half century. And House Speaker Dennis Hastert is already working on an agenda for the House of Representatives for the next 2 years, now that Republicans have held on to the lower chamber of Congress. Hastert says he's already been in touch with the Senate to discuss the legislation. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
It's live. The NBA on Sirius. For game time, log on to Sirius.com or call 877-33-SIRIUS.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tony Cantillo, your fresh grocer. And today's tip of the day is going to be with basil. You know, with the holidays that are coming out, the basil is so important to have around the house. A lot of it is being imported in right now, and some is still growing in from Florida and some other regions in the U.S. So when you see basil by the bunch, you have to buy it. I mean, it's a sin to pass this up for the holidays. But you got to select the one that's nice and green. You want to make sure it's, well, you got to look at it like a fresh cut bunch of flowers. Got to stand straight up. Make sure it's free from any bug bites, too. And yellowing. When you bring them home, what you want to do is cut the bottom of the basil, the bunch, and put them in a glass on the counter. Put a little cellophane around it. It creates its own little hothouse environment, and the basil will last 5 to 6 days. If you store it in the refrigerator, you know what's going to happen? The basil turns black. And I'm Tony Cantillo, your fresh grocer. For more information on basil and other herbs, go to TonyCantillo.com. Hello, I'm Tony Cantillo. You know, sometimes information on nutrition and health can seem overwhelming. That's why there's the Dole Nutrition News. Twice a month, this electronic newsletter will bring you the very latest in diet and nutrition research, plus recipes, fitness tips, and natural beauty ideas. Best of all, it's absolutely free. How do you get all this information? Simply just go to www.dolenutrition.com. To sign up, it's free, it's easy, and it's loaded with news that you can use to lose weight and look great. Again, that's www.dolenutrition.com.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop, but I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes. And to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying. And most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
And it's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. You're listening to Air America Radio. And I've got it together, but I'm angry, I'm aggravated, I'm disappointed. The numbers we were getting early on from exit polls proved to be like, I don't even know where they came from. It only makes me more suspect. There's an electoral quagmire in Ohio. There was a tremendous amount of turnout for Bush. Man. And we, what do you think, Riley? I mean, you know, I am trying to keep it in perspective. I think there is hope. I know it's not over, and I know that we got a lot of work to do in the future, but, you know, I can't help it. I am aggravated, disappointed, depressed, hostile, and also, a little bit defeatist, but I'm not gonna share that too much.
I'll tell you what, I understand all of those emotions, but you know what? Jim Moore said something very significant about Karl Rove before. Because I'm sure when Karl Rove has lost, and he has, that he's felt some of those same emotions. But you know what overrode all of that? The desire to win. The desire to win and to keep on winning.
Right.
And that's what he's been about.
Right.
And he's been successful at what he's been about. This election notwithstanding, because it isn't over yet.
Well, now they're trying to pressure Kerry to concede, like, you know, today.
Yeah, that's Andrew Card and his "Who's Your Daddy" speech that he gave about an hour ago. Later for Andrew Card. Andrew Card isn't anybody. He's not the president of the United States. If George W. Bush wants Kerry to succeed, then get in front of a microphone and say so.
That's right. And we got Brandon P.W. McDonald in here right now, who has been...
He's the only person in here madder than you.
He's he's worked up. He's been crunching the numbers for us. And like, Brandon, you're looking at this. You're doing the analysis. I mean, how did they do this? How did they win?
Well, first of all, we're not going to say that they won.
They're not winning, but how did they pull this off?
Well, and you said it just a few seconds ago. They got their people out there, and I'm not going to go ahead and say that the Kerry campaign didn't get people out there. I think we had quite a bit of problems out in Ohio with people just, it was a war of attrition waiting for the polls there. People waiting for 10 hours before they could cast their vote. So, I mean, we have a lot of intangibles, but what we do have are some numbers that came out through the exit polling that show generally why people were going out to vote. And, it is a national disgrace.
Okay.
I think we can say right here as to the way that the tenor of this election and where it wound up, in the fact that the number one issue that mattered most to people at the polls was moral values. That's code talk for homophobia, for anti-choice, you know, you name it. That was the number one issue, 22% of the vote. And of that 22%, 79% of that was Bush voters.
But that's what we were talking about on the break, was that, you know, isn't that so sad? Because this is one of those things that you said, one of these wedge issues, that people of our ilk were like, how could that be it?
Right. We were completely caught off guard, and that's why this was the Rove masterstroke.
Right.
He pushed this thing onto the ballot in 11 states and got that vote out. At the last count, 1,569,000 more people voted in the states that had the gay marriage amendment ban on the ballot
in 2000.
In Ohio, that ban passed by 62%. That get out the vote effort is enough that if George Bush wins Ohio, well, that's what it'll be. It'll be because they targeted that homophobic feeling in a good portion of America and got them out there. And here we were, totally blindsided by it because we dismiss it offhand. But why would people care?
Right,
Jim and Jim want to get married.
We live in New York. Right. What's the problem?
People are dying in Iraq. There are terrorists planning to kill us. And, you know, if two guys want to get married, that's their business. Well, no, that was the number one issue. Economy and jobs, 20%. Terrorism, 19%.
Economy and jobs, 20%.
Iraq, 15%. Here, how about this one? Education, 4%. Moral values, 22%.
It's brain bending that these people are so frightened and so out of control of their lives that the idea that they could, that the only thing that's important to them is having some control over someone else's life on this, you know, incredibly selective moral standard.
No, but let's get deeper about this, because it goes deeper than just the issue of gay marriage. A lot of these people look at media, they look at television, they look at film, they look at all of these, they look at music, and they see moral decay. That's what they see. Now, I think they're full of crap, but that's what they see. And as a result, they want somebody who's going to stand up and say, well, you know what, this, not necessarily anybody who can do anything about it,
right,
but they can stand up and say, there is a moral erosion going on here that must be addressed. That's what made Bill Bennett popular during his time. That's what that guy Tony Perkins said, that my people are more concerned with the issues of gay marriage and moral values than they are about jobs and the economy.
Well, you know who else was not concerned about it? Gays. Here's another disgraceful number. 23% of gays, lesbians, and bisexuals voted for Bush.
Shame. Shame on them.
16%.
Really? How did they get that number? I would figure most of the gays who would vote for Bush would be closeted, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
I don't know.
These were open gays.
Openly gay people.
People that would put it down at to a person taking an exit
poll. But that's
poll.
How he did it. That's how he did it by scaring people on two levels, which is if you bought the terror fear that this guy actually is doing a better job of terrorism, which, you know, from all indications he isn't. But, I mean, and you couple that with the moral fear, is that you have a little crossover there. I mean, you've got your fear.
All fear.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. I want to give the listeners a little bit of clarity to this before I'm out of here, and because when I was looking at these numbers, there is a lot that's encouraging here, and I know that people listen to us and they look for something to be positive about, because this is, you know, it's a time where you can feel marginalized, where, you know, man, look at all the red on that map. Well, you know what? The
right.
Red is not proportionally is not as much as you think, and 61% of voters in this election said that gays should be allowed to marry or at least form civil unions. 61%. So, you know, just the fact that those 11 states had a bunch of red voters come out and pass those initiatives does not mean that that's the majority of the country. The majority, by 61%, says gays should be allowed to marry or at least form civil unions. That's from NBC's exit poll. And it goes down the list like that. 55% say abortion should be legal in all or most cases. 55% also said Bush pays more attention to the interests of large corporations than to average citizens. 32% of voters said they strongly opposed the war in Iraq, and that was the largest group of voters with an opinion on the war. Anyone who said that they were kind of opposed or strongly for it, much lower than 32%.
So what you're saying is that we've allowed this frightened moral majority, or these evangelicals, or just people that are incredibly selective in their moral leanings, define the culture and the presidency
exactly.
of this country.
And why let them do that? Because they're not the majority.
Right. That means we have to mobilize, and that everything that Jim Moore was saying and everything everyone else is saying, the bloggers are saying, is that, you know, we've got to mobilize. We can't, you know, fall into ourselves, and we've got to expect some justice. And I don't know how long we're all going to, you know, we've got to fight for this Ohio thing for as long as it takes to fight it, but then we've got to get rid of these machines, and we've got to come together.
Sure. And turn to the cities. Look what they did. Look out in Philadelphia. That's a success story of this election,
yeah.
I think, is that Pennsylvania, a state that was so stuck in swing status, to get 80% of Philadelphians to come out and vote for Kerry and blow that thing out pretty early on. It took it out
yeah.
of the swing column very early.
Yes,
good job by getting out the vote there in Philadelphia. And in New York City, 82%, Chicago, 70%, and 90% of black voters in this country, you know, give some applause to those people
well, hey,
for
we
being
got
motivated.
Sense. Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you.
But,
you know, I want to thank the little people.
But there's no reason. Like, we did amazingly in getting out the vote. I mean, we mobilized a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people should be proud of themselves. But, you know, it's not so much that it wasn't enough. It's just that there's a lot of people that aren't being reached for some reason. And, you know, we've got to make that. We've got to change that. We'll be back. We're going to have Greg Palast. I mean, Brendan's going to hang out. We're going to take some calls.
Yeah.
866-303-2270. Let us know how you're feeling. I know it's hard, but give us a call. 15, it's 15 past the hour at Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com. This Sunday, Halloween isn't over till the Simpsons Theater.
It's an all-new Treehouse of Horror special.
Homer, I can foretell people's deaths.
Excuse me. Would I die of much happiness? Naked girl avalanche?
Ben, it's the only comedy funny enough to follow The Simpsons. The Emmy Award-winning best comedy, Arrested Development.
I'm tired of trying to find happiness through lies and self-medicating.
It is a struggle.
If you need me, I'll be at the bar.
It's all new seasons of The Simpsons and Arrested Development. This Sunday at 8, 7 Central, only on Fox.
This year, you are going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the very first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. SmokeRx has a 95% success rate, so we guarantee that you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 1 week. Unlike gums or patches, SmokeRx is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. Best of all, SmokeRx starts to work immediately. Come on, aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? We're so confident that SmokeRx will work for you that we're giving away a free month supply with all of today's orders. Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, SmokeRx is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back. Call now to receive a free month supply with your order.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But Barron's, America's premier financial weekly, can help you make money whichever way the market moves. Now you can get 13 weeks of Barron's plus the valuable guide to building wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. Call now 800-858-5800. That's 800-858-5800 for Barron's.
Love It Loud. The NBA on Sirius. For game time, log on to Sirius.com or call 877-33-SIRIUS.
Soon, all over-the-counter medicines will have one thing in common, simplicity. That's because all over-the-counter medicines will feature new, easier-to-read labels that clearly show their ingredients, uses, warnings, and directions. Because if there's one symptom we all want to relieve, it's confusion. For more information, call the Food and Drug Administration at 1-888-INFO-FDA. That's 1-888-INFO-FDA. The new label. It's clearly better.
I'd like to tell you about an attacker. My friend was hit by a stroke. His left side got weak and he was helpless. Thankfully, someone called 911. So if it ever happens to you or someone around you, call 911. This is Will Downing, friend of a stroke survivor. Strokes attack African Americans more often. Find out why. Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose. A whole big deal.
My dad, he eat a whole Hopalanillo pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
Uh-huh. I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Attention swimmers! Get out of the water! Everybody, out of the water immediately!
Dude, is that... It's a pair of thunder thighs. Big ones, too. That mom, who's been swimming a lot with her kids, must have lost them. Whoa. I heard about this happening once up at Laguna.
Small step number 54. Play with your kids. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
the hour. Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning Sedition. Difficult morning. There's an electoral quagmire in Ohio. Machines went down. They allowed people to challenge votes. They understaffed the polling places, hours and hours people waited. I mean, how does that happen in this country? It was all a big setup. Kerry is not going to concede, even though they're pressuring him to.
And he shouldn't.
He definitely shouldn't. We should play this out. I'm having a hard time, you know, not questioning everything, but my brain would explode if I do right now. But certainly we're going to hear from you in just a second, and I want to read this. Because tomorrow I go to the therapist. Here's my dream diary from last night. I'm trying to do this show. Trying is the key concept here. I got my M&Ms, my coffee. Mark Riley is here. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Mark Maron. Mark Maron. Mark Maron. Mark Maron. Damn, I just keep looking at the TV screen. The map of America looks all red. I'm Mark Maron. I'm Mark Maron. On the screen, the red states on the map start pulsing and flashing like an angry heart. Thump, 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 thump. The thumping keeps getting louder and louder until the TV screen explodes. Glass flies everywhere and the studio starts filling up with a burning bloody red slime. I climb up on the desk with Kalo and Riley, but the red slime keeps rising. We're screwed, I start screaming. Ah! Luckily, just then, Wayne Gelman paddles in on an inflatable raft and says, "Get in. I'm Wayne Gelman." So me and Riley and Kalo and Wayne get into the raft just as the pressure of the red slime tide shoots us out of the 41st floor window in a shower of glass, and we fall all the way down, 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 and somehow we landed right side up in the East River. Wow, we're alive. We made it. It's a nice day in New York. Maybe a little humid, but no biggie. I reach into my bag and pull out some Tupperware. I say, "I made brownies. Here, have one." So we all sat in the raft, eating brownies, watching the sunrise. Mmm, extra butter. That's the key. I never skimp on the butter. I woke up and my bed was filled with Band-Aids. Now we need some help. Who do we got on the phone there, Riley?
We've got Stefan from Atlanta, Georgia. Stefan, how you doing?
How are you?
Hey, good morning, Morning Sedition. I'm kind of depressed, man.
Of course.
Because I'm looking at these machines, and I'd say we ran a hell of a campaign. The Democrats, we did everything right this year. We got out to vote. We had record numbers, and we came out, and the only thing I can see is where we allowed a flaw in the whole process was allowing them to put paperless ballots in these crazy machines.
I agree with you, man. You know, in Georgia, 41% voted for Kerry. He had a great turnout. We mobilized the best we could. But I think you're right. There has been a question about these machines for over a year. You know, local action wasn't taken in an effective enough way to get rid of them. And, you know, we've got to keep fighting, man. You know, I'm sad as well. If I weren't doing this show right now, I would probably have to spend the morning, you know, being sad. But instead, I'm hiding it the best I can.
Stefan, you know, I get a sense from not cutting you off, but I get a sense because we've gotten a few calls from Atlanta both yesterday and today that talked about machine problems. Was that a widespread thing down there?
Well, I actually voted absentee.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know because I didn't trust the machines from the beginning. But when I saw these numbers coming in early on, I just couldn't believe. I mean, because you can't tell me the whole country is lockstep and, you know, just going all red. Like everything they went for, they just went across the board and everybody is just all giddy about whatever he's in office doing. I mean, we had a record number of people coming out and It's just not adding up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, absolutely, buddy. You know, and let's keep our eye on the prize here in terms of you know, making sure this Democratic Party and the people that care, progressives, liberals, that we all try to get on the same page and continue to do the work and not crumple away. That's why we're reaching out to people. We want to know that we want everyone to know that, you know, in Georgia, you know, we had a good turnout for Kerry, in North Carolina 43%, Colorado 46%, Arizona 44%, Kentucky 40%, Texas 38%. That's, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, you're not alone out there. You know, we all are all here for each other. We've just got to, you know, strengthen and continue to be here for each other and continue to do this work. As Riley says, you know, it's just politics, you know, but I am, you know, a little more emotional and I tend to think I'm a very, fatalistic person. I think that, you know, everything's the end of the world. I think that, you know, that, you know, we've been, you know, obviously we've been screwed, but, you know, I have a tremendous amount of fear. And I think I'm guilty of what Jim Moore said, that, you know, a lot of us expect immediate results, you know, after facing a 30-year concerted effort to redefine this culture along conservative lines by these guys on many levels. You know, we just, you know, we think that, you know, we've done this. We did the best we could getting people out to vote. And, you know, damn, it didn't happen. So now we've got to fight our own insecurities, our own pain, our own defeatist attitudes, and continue to do this work.
You know, it's not unusual to take this sort of thing personally. In 1994, I did a broadcast from Brooklyn on Election Day. And, you know, we were telling people, come out and vote, come out and vote, come out and vote. That was the year that the Congress turned Republican. And, I mean, you know, I felt like somebody had kicked me in my gut.
Mm-hmm.
Because here I was running my mouth, telling people how important it was. We got to come out. And people didn't come out. And you take that personally at a point when you do this kind of thing for a living.
I started to feel that way, too, with this election, in the sense that, you know, I'm here and I'm talking to you every day, and we're taking calls and we're looking at what's going on, and we're on the pulse of the great movement and motivating voters, and people are out in the streets doing the big work, you know, God bless them. And then, you know, you go out and, you know, I'm doing shows for people, and, you know, I ask who you're voting for, and they're like, nah, I don't care. And then I'm walking around like yesterday, and I'm like, why do all these people look like, you know, this isn't a very important day? Because apparently about 48% of them, they didn't give a crap. It wasn't an important day to them. It just was another day. I mean, I took my cats to the vet yesterday, you know, and I was like, does anyone know that
there's an election?
Did you guys vote? You know, and I already voted, but I had to take my cats to the vet, so don't judge me too harshly. You know, I needed to mobilize
the cats.
Are
they okay, by the way?
They're all right.
Good, that's good.
Let's take some more calls, man. We got Glenn in Florida. How are you, Glenn? Or Long Island.
Long
sorry.
Island. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up, man?
Well, you know, Ohio's going to play itself out, but I'm still not ready to concede Florida, because now I sent an email to CNN at 2 in the morning, because all of their exit polls were showing that Kerry was leading. Tucker Carlson was sitting there saying that it looks like Kerry's going to win, and then when the Florida vote came out, they all went, well, I guess our polls were wrong. But has anybody actually looked at the exit polls in the counties that use the machines compared to the actual vote in those counties? Is somebody messing around here?
I wish I could tell you, man. You know, it's like if I start to entertain all these things, you know, I mean, the truth of the matter is what do we do? I mean, you know, if that has been decided and none of these lawyers are going to fight it, you know, how do we find justice? I mean, you know, we're going to have to rely on the internet. We're going to have to rely on blogs to ferret this stuff out. It's pathetic. I mean, obviously, it all should be investigated. Will it? I don't know. Will we? I'm not. I could fly down.
We've got to get more and more people who don't necessarily blog, people who don't necessarily use the internet every day. We've got to get people who are out here struggling every day. We have to get them into this.
We got to get Greg Palast in here, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be difficult to hear.
But he's going to tell us.
Right.
When we come back here on Air America Radio.
You can burn a few calories with this brain teaser from Cortislim. What do Stamford, Connecticut, Burbank, California, and the Cortislim lifestyle have in common? Here to tell us is Dr. Greg.
Well, the connection is that those cities each have a population of over 100,000 people. So, hypothetically, you might say that the entire population of, say, Abilene, Texas, not only ordered Cortislim one time, but ordered Cortislim again. And that doesn't surprise us at all, because over 100,000 reorders tells you that the Cortislim lifestyle, and that's managing everyday stress to create positive change, including your weight, along with proper diet, exercise, and Cortislim, well, it's working.
So when you hear that the number of customers who've reordered Cortislim is roughly equal to the entire population of Green Bay, ask yourself, wouldn't you be more comfortable stepping off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle this holiday season? It's as easy as calling 1-800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN. Once again, 800-921-BURN.
Serious? I like running my house alone.
This is Jim.
Jim Brewer Unleashed.
And he's so excited about his new show on Sirius Raw Dog 147.
Yeah.
He's gotten himself in a bit of trouble by resorting to D&D.
Nothing but the truth.
That's right.
Because at the end of the day, that's what you got.
Drinking and dialing.
Raw dog.
Help keep Jim Brewer on the air.
Every day.
And off the phone.
Is it on Wednesdays?
Jim Brewer Unleashed. 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Every day.
Only on Sirius Raw Dog 147. Comedy.
Take a chance.
Uncensored.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Brian is wondering if he should cash out his whole life policy. My answer coming up next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Brian has questions about his whole life insurance policy.
I have two life policies, probably about $8,000 cash value built up in the two of them. My question is, do you cash these things in and put that money in mutual fund?
As soon as you have your term insurance in place, you need about 8 to 10 times your income in 15 to 20-year level term, and then I would drop these things in a heartbeat. And the reason is very simple, Dave. The rate of return on your investment stinks. And then secondly, you've paid about 10 times more per month for the same amount of whole life as you would have for term. Now that you've paid all that money to create this savings, when you die with a face value of $50,000, they're going to send $50,000.
Right.
What happened to your $8,000 you've worked so hard to save up at a lousy rate of return? They keep it. So you have a savings or an investment program with a lousy rate of return. When you die, they keep your money. Would I cash this in? How fast can I do it?
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Wash off the blackboard. Put away the books. Take down the posters.
Put away the gym balls.
Empty out our desks.
Scrape our names off the lockers.
Pull our drawings off the walls.
Put it all in the garbage.
Throw it away.
Throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Want to influence a child's life? Wear your seatbelt. Research shows that when a driver doesn't wear a seatbelt, 70% of the time the children in that car don't either. And an unbuckled child is in danger. Traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for children. Help us stop unbuckled adults from endangering children's lives. There's just too much to lose. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Buckle Up America.
Welcome to Tape 5, The Backpat. Let's say your child comes home from high school. They did something good. It's time to give them The Backpat. Now you try The Backpat. That's it. And pat, pat, pat.
It's really not that difficult. Encourage them. Get them to graduate. Don't drop out on your kids. For a free brochure, call 877-4KID. That's 877-F-O-R-A-K-I-D. This message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Past the hour, Mark Maron. It's Mark Riley.
Hi.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Every Wednesday, we bring you the latest news from the front lines of the three-year global war being waged by the Bush administration. Here now is war correspondent Mort Milpington with today's dispatch from the War on Brains.
Dateline. Man, what the hell happened? America, you are an ass. And that's today's dispatch from the War on Brains.
Mort, that's it? You can't just leave like that. Ohio's still in play. There's still a chance here, buddy.
Okay, here's some words of hope. In anticipation of the possible Bush victory, I've begun moonlighting with a more secure job. I'm now the new spokesperson for Amalgamated Bank.
Amalgamated Bank. Our fees and penalties are slightly lower than the other banks.
Amalgamated Bank.
And that's today's dispatch from the Wall.
Wait a minute. That's all you got? I think the people out there deserve to hear more from you besides the fact that you covered your own ass.
All right. You want some hope? Here's some real words of hope. Maybe we can get some European countries to invade us. Like Holland. Polls there were 70% in favor of Kerry, 14% for Nader, and 15% for the Black Death. That's right, the Dutch would rather live through a version of the bubonic plague from the 15th century than deal with George Bush. They ride bikes. They actually prosecute war criminals. And they got real health care and a living wage, even for the prostitutes. I'm telling you, Mark, I met this one Czech girl. She couldn't have been more than 19 years old, swear to God.
So, wait, so you're telling us that we should encourage foreign countries to invade America? Is that what you're...
Not foreign countries, Mark. A coalition of the willing, specifically Holland. Remember this. The majority of Americans are born again and clinically obese, which means the rest of us are in constant fear of being lectured and then eaten. After 4 years of this crap, the prospect of another Bush term leaves intelligent people with little choice but to burn down their houses for insurance and fake their own deaths. Swear to God, Mark, 19 years old.
So is that it? Mort, I mean...
Well, there's one more thing.
What's that?
Amalgamated Bank.
And that's today's dispatch from the War on Race.
Well, that was very uplifting, Mort. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Whatever.
Appreciate it.
Oh, man. So here now in our studio, and I'm going to put these numbers out there. This is 100% of precincts reporting in Ohio. Bush, 2,794,346. Kerry, 2,658,125. That's 136,221 difference. Greg Palast.
We can do that arithmetic.
What does it mean?
Let's see. A couple days ago, I wrote an article called Election Spoiled Rotten in New Mexico, Colorado, and other swinging states.
Uh-huh.
Well, and when I was on this show last time, I pointed at the fence and said they're going to hit it over in New Mexico and Ohio where they are shoplifting votes. It was already set for those states. And so what we have is a shoplift in New Mexico, a shoplift in Ohio. By the way, I'm still suspect of the numbers in Florida. That's how rotten it was there.
We just had a call talking about that.
No, it is within the margin of the shoplift.
Because exit polls were coming out, heavily in favor of Kerry to the point where apparently Tucker Carlson...
Because what they're not telling you, they have these really neat numbers like Ohio. 50.5% for the president and 49.5% for the challenger Trump. And it comes out to a neat 100%. Ain't no such thing in the United States of America, especially New Mexico, which is sometimes part of the United States of America.
Yeah.
And we don't have 100%. Count in America. We have about 98% count. We have about 2% of votes are called spoiled. Spoiled. Now, votes don't spoil because they're left out of the fridge. They're not counted. It's called undercount. That is, the votes are plugged into the machine. You thought you voted. They weren't counted. And the worst state in the United States, just about in this planet, is Ohio. And guess what? Of the spoiled votes, over half are cast, if you look precinct by precinct, by African-American voters. Now, I'm not quite sure who they voted for. Did anyone do any exit polls of the African-American vote?
90% for Kerry.
So now the other thing is I was about to, in fact, okay, I hope that my BBC editors are now going to apologize and lick my shoes because I was begging them to also have us film in New Mexico because, as I said in the Tom Paine article a couple days ago, John Kerry, quote, is down by several thousand votes in New Mexico, though not one ballot has yet been counted because in New Mexico, the spoilage is very brown. That is, Hispanic voters' votes literally are just thrown out. The machinery is set up such that you just don't get a full count out of those Hispanic precincts.
But this also was sort of a multi-tiered attack in Ohio, wasn't it? By allowing them to challenge votes,
there
was mechanical difficulties in some areas. There was understaffed polling. I mean, it just seems like this was a very determined strategy.
It's called a Jim Crow strategy. And by the way, it's against the law. I want to mention that. If this election is saved at all, you got the one. People, groups are really thank us, people for the American way.
Sure.
We were able, BBC last week was able to uncover these secret caging lists key right, name yeah. for black voters in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Tens of thousands. I got, by the way, more lists yesterday, about 25, 30,000 voters so far that I've counted up, all in black areas. And that's against the law. You can't profile black people to remove their vote, even if you think that your so-called challenge is legal. And People for the American Way went in like gangbusters. And I will say the Democratic Party took up the rear to at least try to do something there. But in Ohio, where they did a tremendous job of fighting this challenge business, but it still was a problem. You cannot target black people to challenge their vote. And by the way, people who are challenged. We keep hearing this stuff about, oh, there's towns in Ohio, this is the Republicans' line, where there are more registrants than
there
voters.
Are eligible
voters. Well, excuse
voters,
me, the problem is not double registration. You move down the street, you don't lose your vote for President of the United States. And in a lot of cases, by the way, their challenge list was made up of people whose address had changed from Ohio to Baghdad, black soldiers.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And this is the people that they are challenging, impeding, what they do in the system also, when they do the challenges, when they mess around with this stuff. And I was being told, by the way, out of Ohio, that they were simply doing random challenges without any basis.
No
cause. The challenge is thrown out. But what it does is you have lines that go on for hours and hours. You know, people have to pick up their kids from school. They have to change their adult diapers, whatever they have to do. But they have to get out of line.
Right.
They lose their vote. It was systematic. It was ugly. You've got a Secretary of State in Ohio who's been running for Catherine Harris of this election. In fact, when someone asked him, aren't you afraid of being called the Catherine Harris of this election? He said, last time I looked, she wasn't on a bread line, but in the U.S. Congress. This guy is just rabid and nasty.
Right. And they say that
say about him.
Well, yeah, and they say that he's got aspirations to become the next governor of Ohio.
And when you don't have to be elected doing it, it makes it even easier.
Okay, so now we've established all this, Greg. So now, like, how do we get justice? What is the process? I mean, you know, we all have these questions, and you've always been clear on fleshing them out and proving that they are indeed true. So what do we need to do? Can you help us with that after this break?
I'm British.
Come on. You're not.
He's voting for Tony Blair.
We're going to be back with Greg Palast. It's 42 past the hour, Air America Radio.
This Sunday, if you miss Fox's Night of Killer Comedy, you'll live to regret it. Imagine the agony of skipping an all-new Simpsons Treehouse of Horror. Picture the pain of passing on the season premiere of the Emmy Award-winning Best Comedy, Arrested Development.
Mother of God! Oh!
Just think of the torture of missing television's two biggest comedies now, back-to-back.
This truly is hell!
It's an all-new Simpsons Treehouse of Horror and the season premiere of Arrested Development. Miss them at your own risk. This Sunday at 8, 7 Central, only on Fox.
Air America fans, there's a magazine you need to read. Mother Jones, your best source for no-holds-barred investigative journalism. This week, Mother Jones is offering a crazy initial subscription price of just $10 a year. Go to MotherJones.com today to subscribe and get Mojo's eye-popping new issue. Read about how U.S. soldiers are speaking out against the war in Iraq, plus how America employs thousands of likely war criminals to do our dirty work in Iraq. Just $10 for a full year at MotherJones.com.
Hi. Do you care about the environment and America's energy future? Now there's a new way you can take action. You can fight global warming and promote energy independence with Native Energy's Wind Builders program. You can offset the impact of your energy use, your home, your business, even your car, wherever you live, work, or learn. Sign up for Wind Builders and help build new wind farms that'll reduce global warming pollution. Join thousands of individuals and leading brands like Ben & Jerry's, Clif Bar, and Aveda, and favorite bands like REM and Dave Matthews Band, who are already fighting global warming with Native Energy. Join them and help build a new Native American wind farm for just pennies a day. Click the Native Energy button on AirAmericaRadio.com or call 800-924-6826. That's 800-924-6826. Or click the Native Energy button on AirAmericaRadio.com. Help build a new Native American wind farm and fight global warming with Native Energy.
Love it loud. The NBA on Sirius. For game time, log on to Sirius.com or call 877-33-SIRIUS.
I really wanted to help the homeless, so I donated money to a shelter, which gets them a hot meal and a bed, for the next day they're on the street again. So I start working at a job training center, but the only jobs most of them can get pay minimum wage, so they can't afford a place to live. Now they can't go back to shelters, because most of the shelters lost their funding when the budget emphasis shifted from housing to job training.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Have a good day, dear.
Your mom always told you to take good care of your stuff. And she was right, as usual. It's a fact that regular car maintenance improves gas mileage and performance. Plus, regular maintenance can reduce traffic congestion due to breakdowns and help reduce pollution. So, keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA. Mom would be so proud.
On how effectively and quickly it worked.
Smoke Free and 3 is strong against cravings mentally and physically, so you can stop for good. No stress, no jitters, no anxiety, and no more money wasted on cigarettes.
Call now for your trial of Smoke Free and 3 at 1-800-304-1766. Stop smoking in just days, guaranteed. 800-304-1766. If you don't stop, we'll send you $100 to buy your next two cartons. Call 1-800-304-1766. That's 1-800-304-1766.
It's conclusive. It's being stolen. It's 47 past the hour. Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley. You're listening to Morning Sedition.
Stolen!
On Air America Radio with us is BBC investigative journalist, reporter from the new documentary, The Bush Family Fortunes, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, which is based on his best-selling book of the same name, similar name, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, Greg Palast. So, Greg, look, you know, we've been talking this morning, what do we got to do? Because, you know, we knew about these black box voting. We knew about the Devo machines. We knew that the guy was going to fix it. We knew about the 2000. We've read all your stuff. Yet, for some reason, you know, we couldn't even get, like 48% of the people still didn't vote. You know, a lot of the registered people, all these people were counting on the vote to vote.
Give me their names and their addresses.
They're in the
got a computer here.
No, what has to happen, man? I mean, what has to happen to get this stuff corrected?
We all need a really big hug.
Oh, come on.
That's like, true. What we really need is a python. And you know, when the elections were stolen in 2000 in three countries in Peru and Yugoslavia and America, in Peru and Yugoslavia, the people went in the streets and said, "We ain't putting up with this. The guy that was elected is going to have to take office." And in America, the only thing that people did, they kept hitting that remote button, and it still didn't change the picture. That guy was still in. Mm-hmm. What we have here now is shoplifting. We have, I'm just looking at just the registration stuff in this third world nation called Ohio. Mm-hmm. Cuyahoga County, which is Cleveland, where there are thousands of people caught registering to vote while black.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at a rejection rate. What they did, these little tricksters, is that when there was these massive minority registration drives, and they just would chuck out the registrations, you're talking about a 300% higher likelihood that your registration would be thrown out if you're black than if you're white. They just said, you know, you didn't check a box. You heard the game about the 80-pound paper, you know, use the wrong weight paper.
Right.
But that one, they had a reverse from the courts and publicity, but they didn't
they didn't say that we're going to now actually register those people. They just went back through those sheets and said, okay, we don't like their middle initial. This doesn't match. It's not a little curlicue on the T. We don't like the address. And they just simply went through and just, you know, every third black registration just went literally out the window.
But if all you're saying is true, and I believe it is true, and we've had this conversation last time, we had the grim conversation, the other, the projection, which it turns out to be true, that the New Mexico and Ohio were the place where this stuff is being stolen, I still want to know, you know, what it's going to take to bring this truth to light and to change, you know, to change this activity.
What are we going to do to change this? Well, you know, we can't, we have to be out there, I don't know, I'm a reporter. All I do is show you the ugly stuff. I don't know what to do about it
except to say that,
say in other countries, people are literally out in the streets.
I think that may be part of the answer. They're out in the streets. If people decide that they're not going to stand still for this.
But if they get violent, then it plays into their scheme.
It doesn't have to be violent.
Okay, all right, so you're just saying peaceful protests across the country to demand a fair vote.
Shut it down. I mean, what happened in the other countries was general strikes. We saw this in Nigeria, too, but you need something else. You need an opposition leader. Leader, Mr. Kerry, leader, you know, and that takes some real guts. Toledo in Peru, you know, the guys that stood up against Milosevic in Yugoslavia, and the guy that stood up against Abacha in Nigeria said, got to count the votes. Of course, he was thrown in jail, and then they killed him.
Killed him, yeah.
But, you know, listen, you know, Mr. Kerry, democracy isn't all, you know, windsurfing and ketchup.
Well, I mean, you...
What?
You're a rough guy,
your speculation from last time, you know, it could possibly happen here. Like, if there was enough uprising, what's to stop them from using the Patriot Act against their own people in terms of political activity?
Hey, listen, so we'll all have our next meeting at the Guantanamo Wing in the American Wing in Guantanamo.
We'll be doing this in a caged area.
That'd be an interesting show. You know, we're doing this from remote in our cell.
Actually, these guys already have their orange suits on, so they're ready. So if you want to see this stuff, in fact, if you want to read the report before it happened, just go to GregPalace.com and see the Tom Paine report on the other Floridas. Because we saw it. I mean, they signaled their punch. That's what I understand. Hello, Democrats. They signaled their punch and the great work. If it's Ohio is in play at all, it's because of groups like People for the American Way and others that went out and said, no, and tried to make the Republicans read the Constitution. Judges try to step in, but they know it's all going to be apologies later. We're going to see all those people that were not properly registered will now be registered. There's going to be a fight over provisional ballots, but you know, that won't be enough. Absentee ballots. They're not being counted. We got, you know, over 10 million in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I just was getting reports out of New Mexico where we just have these weird, weird of vote numbers out of places like Taos, in which Republican votes are way beyond 100% of Republican registration versus 85% last time.
10 people live in Taos, man. I grew up in New Mexico. I mean, you're not talking about millions of votes, but it's enough to skewer the electoral a little bit.
Exactly. That's the point. I was screaming at all my editors about New Mexico, but they keep saying it's only 5 electoral votes. You only need one, man, to make the difference.
Well, the weird thing is that this stuff, you know, and you can verify this, is that, you know, this type of dirty playing has been going on in politics since the beginning. Am I wrong?
Well, yeah. In fact, that's the point. That's why I was able to pick out New Mexico because, like, for example, I just talked to the Republican supervisors last week in a place called Little Texas, New Mexico, down near the Texas Panhandle. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, the bottom hole.
It gets a little Texan-y over there.
Yeah, we're kind of like... Like, you know, drains into Texas, New Mexico.
Yeah.
And you've got Republican supervisors over election supervisors, county clerks over Hispanic areas. And golly gee, votes aren't being counted. I keep talking about this non-count of votes in the Hispanic areas. And what's happening is that I talk to these supervisors and say, how come you're showing up at precincts with little or no votes for president? They said, people just can't make up their minds. And these are in 8-to-1 Democratic registered areas. They can't
make up their minds.
The machines, it doesn't register. This is the big game in America, which is not discussed. In the last election, we had 1.9 million votes chucked in the dumpsters. You're going to see roughly that amount this time. It is Democratic votes, and the worst states for spoilage in this country are, you'd be surprised to learn, New Mexico and Ohio. Where's an election being stolen? New Mexico and Ohio. Whose votes are in the dumpsters? Brown votes and black votes, ladies and gentlemen. This, yes, We have a
we have an elected president named John Kerry.
Well, how come there's no one standing over the dumpster, Greg?
How come?
Yeah.
Because it can't be everywhere.
Because this is what happened. See, people don't even understand what happened in Florida the last time. To a great extent, what Catherine Harris did was not stop the recount. People don't understand it. She stopped the count. The count was about those votes which weren't being read by machines, had to be read by hand. She stopped the count. This is what's happening in New Mexico. This is what's happening in Ohio. Now, you're wondering, people wonder, how could it be stolen in New Mexico, which has a Democratic governor and a Democratic secretary of state? The answer is you have these counties, which are, as you well know, Mark. You don't know which Mark I'm talking to. Are you looking at me?
Yes.
What's happening is that you have counties which are like little plantations.
Sure.
And even where there are Hispanic leaders, it is a Hispanic elite which does not want the poor voter to be voting because it threatens their own power. So all politics is local. So I kept screaming New Mexico because even though it had a Democratic state leadership, I was watching this big drain out of Hispanic vote, the non-count of Hispanic vote, the failure to accept the registration of Hispanics. I was just talking to the Catholic Church leaders trying to, you know, there was a protest, by the way, which no one noticed in Las Cruces, New Mexico a week ago by lowriders running up and down the street saying they're not letting us register.
Really?
Okay.
Really? Well, that's the weird thing that you're saying is that there's political hierarchies within these communities, within these districts, and some of the Hispanic leadership doesn't want the poorer Hispanics to vote, and that's the way politics plays out. This battle is being fought on all these different fronts, and people are just, you know, playing dirty, yet there's the 100,000 people dead in Iraq. You know what I mean? That this is the real nature of what the world's going through, yet we're playing these games here.
Yeah,
you know, and it's horrendous.
That's right. And so you can't especially look at New Mexico, look at Ohio. I don't even trust that vote in Florida because the 250,000 vote difference is within that margin of shoplift. I mean, the reports I'm getting out of places like Palm Beach and the rest is ugly stuff.
Still the widespread disenfranchisement?
Massive disenfranchisement where we have still, by the way, people on those good old felon lists, etc. But, you know, you've got this big non-count problem in Florida as well. And you've got a tremendous non-count problem. But I'm telling you right now, Kerry won Ohio, Kerry won New Mexico. That should be the man who's inaugurated. I am not partisan. As part of BBC, I got to tell you, I don't take sides. I really don't. But on the other hand, I'm in favor of counting the votes and registering people who are properly registered and not challenging them. This new thing of this Jim Crow operation of challenging voters and saying they shouldn't vote. We don't. You know, if the Republicans find an illegal voter, have them arrested. It's a crime. It's not. What they're doing is they're simply
bullying
people, intimidating people, and that's the game.
Greg Palast, always, enlightening and also disturbing to talk to you. Clearly, we need a charismatic leader to help us to make a change.
The Marx Brothers for president.
No, well, not president. No. To mobilize the street activity. Yeah, you're talking about nonviolent protest.
Yeah, the overnight street activity.
Absolutely.
Early in the morning activity.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, maybe it's Al. Maybe Al can do it.
Is he here? Is he back in town?
No, I don't know where he is.
I don't know.
I don't know where he is.
I heard some applause behind him yesterday, so I know he's out of town, but I just don't know where.
We're here. We're New Yorkers, man. We stay here.
Right on.
Right? So
yeah.
We don't know where we're going. Greg, again, great to see you.
Okay, yeah, man.
You
thanks a lot,
Greg.
Got
radio to do.
Okay.
And, we'll be back. Right, Mark? We've got more. We've got another
we've
hour.
We've got a lot more. We've got Robert Wright.
Yeah.
He's coming up. We've also got John Nichols.
He'll be helpful.
John Nichols is Washington editor of The Nation. He's going to be joining us from Madison, Wisconsin. One of those states that just went to John Kerry almost since we've been on the air. Stay with us.
It's
Air America Radio.
The Consultant Pharmacist is your own personal health care consultant. You'll find them in nursing homes, other long-term care settings, and in your community, anywhere there's a need for high-level medication management. But Consultant Pharmacy is more than just managing medications. It's about helping people live better and longer lives. This message brought to you by the American Society of Consultant Pharmacists.
Here's the 2-1. Swing and a long one!
Hi, I'm Barry Bonds for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. In my league, we hit home runs without a designated hitter. But if you want to get home safe, there should always be a designated driver. So when you're with someone who is drinking, please take their keys. Call a cab or drive them home yourself, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Ben.
I am the Edison photograph to delight those who would have melody on
them. Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gelman. It's not over yet, but the Bush White House wants Americans to believe that George W. Bush has won re-election. White House Chief of Staff Andrew Carr, early this morning, addressed the party faithful at campaign headquarters in Washington, D.C., and all but told Bush-Cheney supporters that John Kerry should smell the coffee and concede defeat. Bush is expected to hold a news conference later today. He is reluctant to publicly confront Kerry on the figures, but as it stands now, Bush is ahead with the popular vote and only 2 points ahead of Kerry in the Electoral College. Bush cannot claim victory until he's gained 270 votes in the Electoral College. If Ohio should suddenly tilt in John Kerry's favor, Bush can forget about challenging the vote count. Speaking of that, Ohio emerged as a likely setting for another overtime presidential court fight, with the focus this time on tens of thousands of unaccounted ballots cast by people who would otherwise have been turned away from the polls. Lawyers for President Bush boarded a plane in Washington before dawn, bound for Ohio. They'll join hundreds of Republican lawyers already there. Democrats have thousands of lawyers in Ohio already and held off sending any of their trained SWAT teams of election lawyers, a precaution this year because of the close presidential race and the bitter memory of the 36-day recount battle in Florida in 2000. Trailing the Electoral College count by only 2 points, the Kerry campaign did not concede the election. Election law specialists said either side could file lawsuits today to try to get the best footing for evaluating and counting provisional ballots. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger told a late-night rally that California voters' decisions on a variety of ballot propositions shows again that the ultimate power comes from the people. Former bodybuilder told a cheering crowd in Los Angeles he likes Election Day because when the voters flex their muscles, the state grows stronger. Voters approved the $3 billion stem cell measure the governor supported. Despite its expense and the opposition from conservatives, Schwarzenegger also supported the measure to protect local property and sales tax revenues from raids by the state. The measure was approved. The governor was against two measures that would have expanded gambling, and they were both defeated. House Speaker Dennis Hastert is already working on the agenda for the House of Representatives for the next 2 years, now that Republicans have held on to the lower chamber of Congress. Hastert says he's already been in touch with the Senate to discuss legislation. At last count, Republicans had 227 seats and were leading in five others that could give them at least 232 seats. That would be effective three-seat gain for the GOP. Democrats had 197 seats and led in five. Along the way, Republicans knocked off four veteran Democrats in Texas. Democrats defeated the longest-serving Republican House member, Phil Crane of Illinois. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gill.
Like when I'm in my house alone.
This is Jim.
Jim Brewer Unleashed.
And he's so excited about his new show on Sirius Raw Dog 147.
Yeah.
He's gotten himself in a bit of trouble by resorting to D&D.
Nothing but the truth.
That's right.
Because at the end of the day, that's what you got.
Drinking and dialing.
Raw Dog.
Help keep Jim Brewer on the air.
Every day.
And off the phone.
Is it on Wednesdays?
Jim Brewer Unleashed. 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Every day.
Only on Sirius Raw Dog 147. Comedy.
Take a chance.
Uncensored.
I'm Deborah Bird.
And I'm Joel Block for Earth and Sky Friday, October 29th. Since last June, as seen from across the Earth, a beautiful bright planet has been in the east before dawn. Venus outshines all other sky objects except the Sun and Moon. And now this bright beacon in the east before dawn has company. The planet Jupiter, fourth brightest sky object after the Sun, Moon, and Venus, is now back in the east before dawn.
Jupiter is still lower in the sky than Venus, but these two worlds will be getting closer together in the coming week as Jupiter ascends in the eastern pre-dawn sky. Venus is the second planet out in orbit around the Sun. It orbits one step inward from Earth. It looks bright to us mainly because it's nearby, and because its surface is covered with highly reflective clouds.
Jupiter is the fifth planet out in orbit around the Sun. It looks bright mainly because it's so huge. 11 planet Earths could fit side by side in front of Jupiter. Venus will remain in our eastern pre-dawn sky through the end of this year, but Jupiter won't stay in this part of the sky for long. If you watch, you'll see it move past Venus around the first week of November. By the end of November, Jupiter will be high above Venus before dawn.
Jupiter will be back in our evening sky by March of 2005. For today, that's our show. We have star charts at earthsky.org. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this,
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
That's it. Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. Good morning. Not so good morning. They're doing it again. They're stealing the election. We had Pallast in here just a second ago, Greg Pallast. Always, you know, grim but truthful. You know, the truth of the matter is all four of the major news organizations on television, too close to call in Ohio still, with 100% of the precincts reporting Bush 2,794,346, 51%. Kerry 2,658,125. 49%, the difference of 106,221. We've gotten reports that there's up to 250,000 provisional ballots. Pallast said that, you know, they've been bullying people, they've been challenging people, they've been telling people their votes are no good, or that they don't count, or that they can't vote. They've been scaring people. There have been machine malfunctions there, which would fall right in line with the chief executive of Diebold's promise that, quote, committed to helping Ohio deliver its electoral votes to the president next year. Walden Odell said that. You know, when I talk to Pallast, Riley, when I talk to him, I sit here and go, look, I don't want to be hopeless, but here I am now. I'm questioning Florida. I'm questioning New Mexico. I'm definitely questioning Ohio because that's clearly, you know, something. There's some sort of electoral quagmire going on up there. So I got all these questions in my head. We knew over a year ago that these black box voting machines were crap and that they were easy to fix, but no one did anything about it. 48% of the people registered to vote did not vote. So what am I supposed to do with that anger? Where am I supposed to put my hope that we're going to be able to pull our crap back together and make this thing work? Yeah, sure, we mobilized a lot of people this time. Yeah, the Democrats got behind John Kerry, for better or for worse. But dudes, we are in trouble, man. There's a lot of injustice going on. There's a lot of stuff that is completely suspect, and I don't know how the hell it gets changed.
You get it changed by organizing and seeing to it that everybody in America knows about Diebold, that everybody in Ohio knows about Diebold, so they would not tolerate a single Diebold machine in their state. We're nowhere near that now, and that's what's got to happen if you really, really want to make change. The idea that one election ends up either, you know, putting somebody out of a situation or in a situation doesn't make sense to me. I've seen these elections before. I've seen Republicans down in the mouth. I've seen Democrats down in the mouth. I've seen Republicans thinking it was hopeless. After 1996, with Bob Dole and Bill Clinton, the Republicans thought it was hopeless.
Yeah, but there, it's like, it seems like such a different animal to me. You know, was there a threat that the Democrats at that time, Mark Riley, were going to, you know, initiate some sort of, you know, crypto-fascist theocratic movement just to maintain power in this country? Were the Democrats at that point in time threatening to, you know, tear apart the Constitution to be able to maintain power in this country?
No, but what the Republicans were afraid of was that the Democrats would keep winning elections. That's what they're concerned with.
Yeah, but
they're not concerned with all the rest of that. What they're concerned with is political capital, which is measured in wins and losses.
Right, but the stakes are so high now. There are thousands and thousands of people dying in Iraq. There are Americans dying in Iraq. There's the issue that, you know, this president has been a failure on almost every level, yet has convinced people with the idea that, you know, that somehow or another they're on some sort of moral slippery slope because gay people are allowed to get married, that, you know, that's what mobilizes people in this country. We should be ashamed of ourselves.
We should be ashamed of ourselves, but we should also be about the business of changing it.
I know.
We can't sit back and just say, well, hey, the red states are red. They're always going to be red. Remember that a generation ago, the entire 11 states of the old Confederacy went Democrat every single election. Every election.
And I think that
every office.
Republicans should be ashamed of themselves for aligning themselves with religious fanatics who are defining the culture of this country. You know, in the face of, you know, science, truth, and reality, we've got to go back to the Middle Ages, you know, ideologically because of these people. And Republicans who are smart people, some of them, fiscal conservatives, have to align themselves with these people in order to maintain power in this country, and they don't think there's going to be a price to pay? Screw them. You know what I mean? And screw the people that didn't vote, too. Screw all of you for not voting. 48% of my ilk, people who are smart, people who condescended to vote, people who think that it really doesn't matter. It mattered, and you screwed up.
Well, yeah, and the bottom line is, those folks, that 48% is going to have to be motivated, and I think the next 4 years, if Bush does prevail here, the next 4 years will provide adequate motivation for a lot of that 48% to come out and vote. But you can't leave any of this stuff to chance. You heard Jim Moore. The Republicans have been lining up surrogates, lining up think tanks, lining up organizations. The Swift Boat Veterans for Truth didn't combust themselves into existence. You know what happened? Some Republicans got together with some people with some money, a rich developer. They put $500,000 into the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, and a lot more Americans know who they are than know who Diebold is.
Yeah, but that's also because we have a media that is sympathetic only to getting ratings and will do anything they can to create ratings, and they do not report on the truth. And also, the fact of the matter is, the truth of the matter is, the Republican agenda, the Republican ideology is significantly more narrow and more, you know, and more focused than the Democratic ideology or liberal ideology ever could be.
But you can still put the think tanks together around each and every one of those Democratic issues and link them. But the Republicans are not as narrow as you think. There are Republicans who believe in fiscal conservatism, and they have no interest in arguing about abortion rights. They have no interest in arguing about gay rights. All they care about is whether or not the deficit is reduced. But that's what some fiscal conservatives, that's what some Republicans are about.
Okay.
They don't care about that social stuff. Then you got other people who could care less about the economic stuff. All they care about is the social stuff. They are linked by organization, and that's what the Democrats don't have.
Right. Well, that's because, you know, it's hard to link the sort of, you know, the vegan think tank with, you know, the sort of, you know, progressive economic think tank that wants to, you know, take down, you know, corporate influence. I mean, the broadness.
You
got
to get them all down to sit down at the table and talk. That's
right.
The first step in it. You sit them down, you explain to them what they have in common as opposed to how they differ, and then you forge a common agenda. That's what Rove has been doing for the last 25 years, and he's been very successful at it.
But so many of these people, like what you're talking about, the reason it's harder is because, you know, we think about stuff. You know, we engage other ways of thinking.
And we should be encouraged to think about stuff. We should be encouraged to engage other ways of thought. All I'm saying is that at the end of the day, you have to come together around a common sense set of principles, a common set of values, and then you move forward from there. And if gay marriage is part of your common sense of values, you cannot run away from that common sense of values.
But these guys are not afraid to exploit people that are much simpler, that are more focused on things that are not important to them. They are willing to mobilize people who are completely fueled by fear to meet their economic and political ends. And that's heinous.
All right, but you know what? We have to then say, okay, that's their group. All right, what we've got to do is stand up and say, all right, we're going to stand for the single mothers that are trying to get their kids off to school this morning. We're standing up for the guy that's cleaning a bedpan in a hospital someplace making minimum wage. We've got to stand up for people that we know exist, but that we don't always talk to.
Right. So I guess we got to talk to John after this. Is that all right? Can we do that?
Yeah.
Over the break, we'll come back. We got John Nichols on the phone. We just got carried away because we're worked up this morning and we're upset, and we're trying to, you know, to stay focused on bringing people together. It's 14 past the hour. You're listening to Air America Radio.
You can burn a few calories with this brain teaser from Cortislim. What do Stamford, Connecticut, Burbank, California, and the Cortislim lifestyle have in common? Here to tell us is Dr. Greg.
Well, the connection is that those cities each have a population of over 100,000 people. So, hypothetically, you might say that the entire population of, say, Abilene, Texas, not only ordered Cortislim one time, but ordered Cortislim again. And that doesn't surprise us at all, because over 100,000 reorders tells you that the Cortislim lifestyle, and that's managing everyday stress to create positive change, including your weight, along with proper diet, exercise, and Cortislim, well, it's working.
So when you hear that the number of customers who have reordered Cortislim is roughly equal to the entire population of Green Bay, ask yourself, wouldn't you be more comfortable stepping off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle this holiday season? It's as easy as calling 1-800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN. Once again, 800-921-BURN.
The great American media machine has broken down. Afraid of being tagged as liberal media, news outlets have dumped independent judgment and started regurgitating spin. Mainstream media is starting to admit they were bamboozled by the Bushies on Iraq, but that's just the start. While every serious scientist knows global warming is real, the press serves up partisan spin instead of reporting the facts. Some people say the climate is changing. Others say those folks are chicken littles. End of story. It's the same with recent voter suppression scandals. Republicans smothered Democratic votes nationwide by harassing citizens at the polls, trying to remove Dems from voter rolls, and trashing Democratic registration cards. But the media spends half their stories repeating false GOP claims of illegitimate Democratic voters. Repeating both party spin isn't a substitute for fact-checking or telling the truth. Mainstream media must stop acting as a megaphone for partisan noise machines, and the public should refuse to keep flying blind. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
I like going in my house alone.
This is Jim.
Jim Brewer Unleashed.
And he's so excited about his new show on Sirius Raw Dog 147.
Yeah.
He's gotten himself in a bit of trouble by resorting to D&D.
Nothing but the truth.
That's right.
Because at the end of the day, that's what you got.
Drinking and dialing.
Raw Dog.
Help keep Jim Brewer on the air.
Every day.
And off the phone.
Is it on Wednesdays?
Jim Brewer Unleashed. 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Every day.
Only on Sirius Raw Dog 147. Comedy.
Take a chance.
Uncensored.
All right, you 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your bat on, buddy. There you go, helmet.
Hell yeah.
Okay, that's right, your thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but yeah, put them in it.
Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy, run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run! Come on.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have sprayed on them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the great schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm Garcelle Beauvais Nylon. When I played a DA on NYPD Blue, I got all the facts before trying a case. Yet many don't know the facts about epilepsy. There are 2.5 million Americans with the condition, and 1 in 10 Americans will have a seizure in their lifetime. People with epilepsy want to lead normal lives, but too many of us don't know what epilepsy is or what to do if someone has a seizure. To learn more, visit epilepsyfoundation.org or call 1-800-332-1000.
If you think of a library as that place where shh is the only thing you hear, think again. Many are being forced to cut back hours, reduce services, even close their doors. The time to support your local library is now. Contact your library to find out how you can help keep the doors open. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. For more info, visit the American Library Association at www.ala.org.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition, Air America Radio.
Yep.
We're here. We're trying to be. It's like, you know, I'm not giving up hope, and I'm not, What am I not, Mark Riley? All we can do is continue to do the work here, right? We're going
to
come in tomorrow.
We just have to keep doing. Yeah, we have to keep doing what you're doing. And the thing, Mark, people need to realize that politics is about the acquisition, maintenance, and manipulation of power.
Yeah.
So if you do lose, and remember that Kerry hasn't lost yet, but if you do lose, it's just a momentary thing. You are still seeking the power.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. This is politics.
I know, but it just seems so, you know, it's like I
know.
You know,
it seems
like
crass, it seems craven, it seems unseemly. But yeah, it's still politics.
Yeah, I know, but I'm one of those people who's like, no, man, it's not, it's the end of the world.
No,
dude.
No, let me tell you something. I really think that there ought to be a radical, you want to talk about something radical that people can do to change all of this?
Yeah.
A year before the next election, have people from who are in favor of the Democrats move from red states into blue states for a year.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
And then systematically drain the populations of the red states so that the blue states become more populous.
Yeah.
And then see what happens.
That sounds like an awfully big project.
It is a big project.
Should we do this?
Yeah.
All right. Ray brought this earlier.
Oh, I forgot.
Here's the presidential palm pilot for today. 8 a.m., wake up. Hit snooze button. Why wake up? 9 a.m., wake up. There's nothing like victory sex. First time in 3 years, I still got it. 10 a.m., call Cheney. Notes, say it's all yours now, buddy. From here on out, you can get me on speed dial, but only if it's really important. 11 a.m., send mass email to Diebold executives. Tell them to check their offshore accounts for a little thank you gift. 12 noon, call Halliburton. Start immediate construction of liberal detention camps. Sorry, I mean re-education camps. 1 p.m., call Dad. Who's Junior now? Two wars and two terms. Beat that, wimp. 2 p.m., call Osama for private from private line. Say, thanks, buddy, for playing bad cop. Couldn't have done it without you. Take a few months off. I am. 3 to 9 p.m., video golf. Man, my game is rusty. 10 p.m., dance through the White House in my socks and underwear to old-time rock and roll. 12 midnight. Bedtime. Call Ramon to get the stuff. Tomorrow, I'm going to party like it's 1979. Now on the phone from, I believe, Wisconsin, we have from the nation, John Nichols is with us. How you doing, brother?
Hey, John. Hey, man. How you doing?
All right, man. So what? Give us some hope. Do something. What's going on out there?
Well, yeah, I had a friend who called me about 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And he said, this guy's an editor of major daily newspapers.
Yeah.
And it just seems like nothing. Dead voice. And just says, we have entered the new dark ages.
Okay, that was very helpful. Thanks,
yeah,
John. We'll talk to you later.
Be cool about stuff now, because everything's to be happy.
Yeah.
No, I mean, one thing that's important is, don't tell yourself that something good happened last night. There's nothing good in this.
I didn't say good. I'm just trying to figure out some hope. Let me emphasize. Okay.
Last night was a pretty dark situation.
Yes.
It was bad in the presidential. It was bad in the Senate. It's bad in the House. These guys have more power than they have ever had in our lifetime.
Yeah.
And that makes the Florida fight stunningly significant.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there is no reason not to fight like hell for Florida.
Right
now. That's why I want to say Florida for Ohio. There's no reason not to fight like hell for Ohio.
Hey, some people think that we should fight for Florida, too.
No, Florida's pretty bad. In fact, one of the biggest mistakes that Democrats made, too much emphasis on Florida. They tried to win that state. They lost it by 370,000.
Right.
So, you know, that's not where the action is. The action is in Ohio. Now, understand this.
Okay.
You have a 130,000 vote margin, roughly. I'm looking at the latest stuff.
Right, that's after 100% of the votes are now in, and there's
236,221.
Okay.
And maybe up to 250,000 uncounted provisionals, or unassessed.
Remember, we have no idea what the provisionals are going to be. Even the Secretary of State doesn't know at this point, because they're still counting them up.
Why did Andrew Card say he talked to him, and they said that they got Ohio?
Andrew Card lies.
Right.
Andrew Card, you know, I mean, the one question that a reporter should have asked, you know, when Andrew Card was saying Kerry should concede.
Yeah.
The one question a reporter should have asked Andrew Card is, when did you think Kerry should have conceded? September?
Right.
You know,
Andrew
Card's not going to, you can't count on this guy for anything. So the bottom line is this. What we have in Ohio is a situation where we don't know how many provisional ballots we've got yet. We do not know how many absentee ballots have yet to be counted. I was a newspaper editor in Ohio for years. We used to have a constant problem there where county officials would go home about 2 a.m. and go to sleep.
Right.
And so we'll see what the reconciliation looks like through today. Everybody ought to take a very, very deep breath and, you know, get a cup of coffee,
I've had
sit
four.
Back, the election is not over.
Right.
And we're going to see what the reconciliation looks like in Ohio. It may break our hearts, but we don't know that. And I will tell you, I've covered politics long enough to know that sometimes in the bright light of day, when honest precinct clerks go back, they realize, oh, crap, I put the 2 where the 8 was supposed to be. And so there's a lot of reconciliation to go today. What I will tell you is this. If Bush's lead falls below 100,000, you know, if it falls below 100,000, which means, and that's very possible as they reconcile the counties, add in the absentees,
right,
those provisional ballots could well make all the difference in the world, because they're going to err disproportionately on the side of new voters and on the side of Democrats. So we've still got a lot to sort out. There's a reason. John Kerry is not a, you know, bold, courageous radical. He didn't decide not to concede last night because, you know, he's got some wild, crazy-ass idea of how he's going to win this thing.
Mm-hmm.
They looked, they spent hours, and they looked rationally at what's going on in Ohio, and they decided it's worth taking another couple days.
Mm-hmm.
So we, as progressives, ought to have the, you know, the stomach to take a couple days.
Well, of course, but it could be up to 11 days. I mean, I'm not saying...
And you know what? That's fine. It was 36 days.
Yeah, I got no problem with that.
Yeah, and so let's get cool with it, and let's also get cool with sorting out Iowa. Let's get cool with sorting out New Mexico. Let's make sure, let's take our look around this country. We had a ton of states with extremely close results.
Right.
Let's sort it out. And this is the other thing to remember. We have a couple of really good new people in the United States Senate. We got Barack Obama coming into the Senate,
mm-hmm.
who ran on an anti-war, anti-Patriot Act platform.
Mm-hmm.
We got Russ Feingold. You know that 3 years ago, every political pundit in America said Russ Feingold was finished because he voted against the Patriot Act. This man just won re-election with 60% of the vote, running on an explicitly anti-Patriot Act, anti-war, anti-corporate free trade platform in a state that Kerry only won by 13,000 votes. Thing to learn here is the future lies with a radical, and I don't mean, you know, like burning a flag, but I mean just a radical progressive politics that says what it believes as aggressively as the conservatives say what they believe.
John Nichols, why do you think it is that first-time voters and young voters didn't come out in the numbers that most people expected?
Well, I think that, you know, one thing is we're still sorting all this stuff out. What I can tell you is right now we know that Kerry got about 3.6 million more votes than Gore got, and Bush got about 7.6 million more votes than he got last time. So on each side, there was a large inflation, you know, historic level inflation of the vote for each side of this process.
Mm-hmm.
What we know is that the Republicans did very, very well with their hidden ground game in the churches. They bumped their evangelical vote dramatically.
Like by 3 or 4 million.
Well, exactly. That's what Karl Rove wanted to do, and he did it.
Yeah, and he did it by homophobia.
Well, and he also did it by breaking the law. Let's be clear.
With
illegal.
Right.
But what we don't know yet is exactly what we're going to find on, you know, where the different, all these different new groups that came along pulled it off. Now, remember, this is the first year that groups like ACT, Move On, Project Vote even existed.
Right.
Karl Rove has been, as you guys were saying a few minutes ago.
It's a long time.
He's been playing this game for 20 years.
All right, we got to go. You know, you actually helped me out, John Nichols. You know, you spun in a good way, and I appreciate it.
Just remember Feingold. Do not forget.
Okay.
A good progressive one. And you are my brother. So
thank you, man.
All right, John. Take care.
Okay.
We got Robert Reich coming. Huh?
We got Robert Reich coming up. He's going to tell us his spin on the election when we come back here on Air America Radio. Halloween isn't over until the Stetson's Theory. It's an all-new Treehouse of Horror special.
Homer, I can foretell people's deaths.
Do me! What I die of? Too much happiness? Naked girl avalanche?
Then, it's the only comedy funny enough to follow The Simpsons. The Emmy Award-winning best comedy, Arrested Development.
I'm tired of trying to find happiness through lies and self-medicating.
It is a struggle.
If you need me, I'll be at the bar.
It's all-new seasons of The Simpsons and Arrested Development. This Sunday at 8, 7 Central, only on Fox.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But Barron's, America's premier financial weekly, can help you make money whichever way the market moves. Now you can get 13 weeks of Barron's plus the valuable guide to building wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. Call now 800-858-5800. That's 800-858-5800 for Barron's.
Master, I seek wisdom.
Ah, Grasshopper, it is not wisdom you seek, for you have already found that which enlightens the mind.
I mean the number.
The number is infinite, my son. You have found Sirius. You have awoken your dormant spirit to the joy of satellite radio.
I'm just looking for wisdom.
Look no further, Grasshopper.
Wisdom radio on Sirius, you know.
Oh. 132.
Now look.
Mind.
Body. Spirit.
Earth. Serious.
Wisdom Radio.
132.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tony Cantillo, your fresh grocer. Today's tip of the day is going to be on green kiwi. We did a tip on golden kiwi a little while ago, but green kiwi is in the market, and there's so much of it. There's a bumper crop, and the prices are great, and so is the quality. But let's talk about selection. When you select the green kiwi, the bigger, the better. You want to make sure it's got that light brown color all the way around. Then what you want to do is make sure when you buy them that they have a nice give to the touch. When you bring them home, you store them on the counter, not in the refrigerator. But when they're ready to eat, and let's say you're not ready to eat all that kiwi you bought because they're so inexpensive, then you can store them in the refrigerator when they have a nice give to them, and they can last up to 7 to 10 days longer. Now, kiwi is great for dessert, and it's also wonderful for you. With 240% of the vitamins you need for the day and 6 grams of dietary fiber, wonderful for nutrition. And I'm Tony Cantillo, your fresh grocer. For more tips, go to TonyCantillo.com. Hello, I'm Tony Cantillo. You know, sometimes information on nutrition and health can seem overwhelming. That's why there's the Dole Nutrition News. Twice a month, this electronic newsletter will bring you the very latest in diet and nutrition research, plus recipes, fitness tips, and natural beauty ideas. Best of all, it's absolutely free. How do you get all this information? Simply just go to www.dolenutrition.com. To sign up, it's free, it's easy, and it's loaded with news that you can use to lose weight and look great. Again, that's www.dolenutrition.com.
We're all hearing a lot about youth violence these days, but you know what? Crime and violence among teens is actually going down. The secret to keeping it down is to help our kids learn about things like self-respect and empathy and how to solve conflicts without resorting to violence. Teach your children how to steer clear of violence. Who knows? You might just save a life. A message from Big Brothers Big Sisters of America, the Boys and Girls Clubs of America, and the Center for the Prevention of School Violence.
AIDS has killed nearly 6 million children worldwide. That's more than every child in every preschool, grade school, and high school in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Conservation International applies innovations in science, economics, policy, and community participation to protect the Earth's richest natural regions. Their objective is to conserve plant and animal diversity in major tropical wilderness areas and key marine ecosystems. With headquarters in Washington, D.C., CI works in more than 30 countries on 4 continents. For more information about CI's programs, please visit www.conservation.org.
All right, folks, 34 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Edition. Oh, my God. Is that footage from now? Are there still people waiting online to vote?
I don't know.
That can't be possible.
Waiting online to protest.
We got to demand it. We need, you know, I wish the media would take some responsibility and get to the bottom of this Ohio situation. What's going on with these machines? What's going on with this count? I mean, it just seems so skewered, as I like to say.
Well, you know, it's still 254 to 252. It's been that way all morning long by most of the networks.
All right. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 128. Leaders of Iraq. Well, it's looking like our old boss might be sticking around. Yeah, we're all in some shock, to tell you the truth. But the point is, I'm here to announce a change of policy. Strap in. You know how we said this was about removing Saddam and liberating your people and weapons of mass destruction and all that crap? That's over. From here on out, it's a straight-up holy war. You hear what I'm saying? That's right. Yep. Yep, Christians versus Muslims. Our God against your God. You do the math. You remember the Crusades? Sure you do. And now that we've got the election over with, and you don't have to walk on eggshells anymore, we've decided to walk on you. Uh-huh. From here on out, we're going to get biblical on your ass. There's only one thing standing between us and the rapture, and it's you. So be part of the solution and become part of the sand dunes. God has spoken, and his word is heavy, man. So good luck and God bless. And by God, I mean our God. This is day 128 of Iraq, birth of a nation. Live free or die. All right, man. Here we go. On the phone, former Secretary of Labor under President Clinton, author of Reason Why Liberals Will Win the Battle for America, professor of social and economic policy at Brandeis University. Robert Reich, help us out. What's going on?
Well, good morning, Mark. It's not over until it's over, but it looks pretty over.
What? But it seems something's wrong.
Obviously something's wrong. We used to have a gender gap. We still do. But it's not as big as it was. Republicans got more of the women's vote than we thought. There used to be a racial gap. Well, there still is, but more Hispanics voted for Bush than we expected. There is a huge rural versus urban gap in this country. Most people in cities voted for John Kerry, and most people in rural areas of this country voted for George Bush. There is a big education gap. Most college graduates, it looks like, from the preliminary data, voted for John Kerry. Most people with only a high school degree or less voted for George Bush. But the biggest gap seems to be religious versus secular. If you attend church regularly, you voted for George Bush. People who attend church rarely or occasionally or not at all voted for John Kerry. And that actually may be the biggest divide coming out of this election.
Well, what about we just had Greg Palast in here, says the thing's being stolen. What about that gap?
Oh, well, look, it may be. I mean, the exit polls yesterday showed overwhelmingly, state after state, and this is true of Ohio, it's true of Michigan, it was true even of Florida, that voters who came out of the polls said they preferred John Kerry to George Bush. But frankly, guys, you know, we're not going to have a way of knowing, because so many of those polls, and particularly those voting machines, were electronic. Was it stolen? I don't know. Will there be challenges, particularly in places like Iowa? Yes. But overall, it's going to be very, very hard to buck this.
Mr. Secretary, does there need to be a rethinking of approaching critical segments of the Democratic constituency, like young people, like new voters, neither of whom came out in substantial numbers?
Yes, undoubtedly. The Democratic Party, and there really wasn't much of a Democratic Party before, let's face it. I mean, the Democratic Party was like a Gertrude Stein once said of Oakland, California. There's no there there.
Oh, that's cool.
But the Democratic Party now has really no leadership. I mean, Tom Daschle is gone. Al Gore basically is not a voice in the party any longer. Terry McAuliffe, I mean, what is the Democratic Party?
Should he go, Terry McAuliffe?
I'm sorry?
Should he go, Terry McAuliffe?
Well, look, I mean, I wouldn't call for his resignation. The issue really is about the Democratic message. I would say that we've got to have a message that resonates with people who are traditional Democrats, people who have only a high school degree, who've been going on a downhill escalator for the last 18 years. Over the last 4 years, they lost jobs in larger numbers than anybody else, and their health care is, is less secure. And yet they came through for George Bush.
Well, apparently they've lost their jobs, they've lost their health care, but they found God, which was enough.
God is not enough. I would hate the lesson to be that the you know, Democrats have to move right, or the Democrats have to somehow become more religious, or the Democrats have to adopt a kind of you know, proto-fascist agenda. No, I think Democrats need to go back to their roots, and Democrats have got to speak passionately and eloquently to working class people in this country about what this country can be. If we're talking about faith, the leap of faith here is what we can do together, what social justice can mean in this country. People don't remember, but there was a time when people did talk about these things.
Well, Robert Reich, I'm with you 100%. I will go on the bus with you if you want to start traveling and speaking to the people.
Well, I think now is the time. You know, if there was ever a shock, we're going to have a Scalia Supreme Court. We're going to have Republicans running everything. And if we want to take the country back, we got to start today.
Mr. Secretary, let's assume for a moment that people who have a concern about moral values aren't just talking about gay marriage. They're talking about a culture that the Republicans seem to have been very skillful at Velcroing to the Democrats. How do the Democrats carve out their own niche on moral values?
I think the Democrats talk about corporate CEOs who have no public morality at all, who are taking home $20 million a year and firing thousands of workers. If that's not immoral, I don't know what immoral is. Talk about companies that are basically putting jobs abroad and firing their American workers. Talk about the fact that average working people who are earning $40,000 are on a downward escalator. They have lousy health care or no health care, and their schools for their kids are lousy. That's a moral issue. Talk about economic concentration in this country. That's a moral issue. It's not, in other words, instead of blind obedience to a particular religious dogma, talk about the moral issues that really do bind us potentially together as a country, and that is the moral issues that are enshrined in the notion of social justice for this country, and also in the basic documents of this country. I mean, we are split, this nation, economically and geographically. We have more concentrations of wealth and more concentrations of poverty than ever before. Well, we need, as Democrats, to address this in moral terms and not just in technical-sounding, policy-wonk-sounding terms. No, these are moral issues.
You know, you sound like you'd make a good candidate.
Well, look at
running for something?
I'm hoping. I mean, I'm hoping against hope, and there's very little chance. I mean, maybe Ohio, if there is some, who knows, maybe Ohio will come around in Iowa. You know, there's about a 1% chance John Kerry could be president. I don't want to give up on that.
Good.
But look, let's be very clear. Today is a new day, and the Democrats have got to. We have got to. Not even them. Let's not even talk about them. We tend to talk about Democrats as if they're somebody else. I and a lot of your listeners have got to get off our behinds today. And start building a new progressive movement in a very serious way.
All right, I'm getting up now.
There you go.
Secretary Reich, thank you for joining us. As always, great to talk to you.
Okay,
take care.
Well, now we want to hear from you in the last segment of our show. Blow off some steam. Let us know your vision. 866-303-2270. It's 42 past the hour, Air America Radio. Want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
Biodiesel not only keeps farmers on their land, but provides a renewable source for America to reduce dependence on foreign oil. Farm Aid President Willie Nelson at this year's press conference.
Biodiesel, I think, is our chance to grow our way out of the situation that we find ourselves in.
By growing fuel, farmers are leading us to a more hopeful future.
There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's called biodiesel.
Neil Young also chimed in on this veggie fuel.
Willie and I do this all the time. We just feel good. We're not polluted. It's American-grown fuel. It doesn't damage anything.
If you back it into the garage and leave the motor running and go to sleep, you'll just gain weight.
Learn more online at biodiesel.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
Master, I seek wisdom.
Ah, Grasshopper, it is not wisdom you seek, for you have already found that which enlightens so much.
No, I mean the number.
The number is infinite, my son. You have found Sirius. You have awoken your dormant spirit to the joy of satellite radio.
I'm just looking for wisdom.
Look no further, Grasshopper, for you...
No, wisdom radio, on Sirius, you know.
Oh, 132.
That'll do it.
Mind.
Body. Spirit.
Earth. Serious.
Wisdom Radio.
132.
Are you in the car right now with your kids? Sounds like the perfect time to ask them about the drug ecstasy. Go on, ask them. You have time right now to ask them. Think there's a better time? Maybe when you can sit down and have the talk? Aren't you sitting right now? The time to have the talk is right now. Lock the doors if you have to, because they're sitting right there. Go on, ask your kids about ecstasy. Right now. If you don't do it now, do you think you ever will? Ask your kids about E right now. Then go to askyourkidsabouti.com.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
The public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
When is the right time to start talking with children about marijuana? Before they see or hear any pro-use messages or images. Before anyone their age has used it. Before anyone encourages them to try it. Before it becomes their first step towards substance abuse, school problems, health and safety risks, and illegal activity. Reality check. It's never too soon to talk to your kids about marijuana. For tips on getting started, call 1-800-729-6686.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
Got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kid's principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Alright, let's land this thing. It's 48 past the hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yes.
Let's just take the calls, see what people are thinking. Paul in Philly, what's going on, buddy?
Yo, Paul.
Hi, I know that you guys don't want to hear Florida anymore, but there are serious problems with the vote count in Palm Beach County.
We didn't say,
we didn't say that.
I know. But everyone's talking Ohio, but there's very serious problems in Palm Beach County.
Uh-huh.
Throughout the state, there is not one county where you didn't get 10% more Democratic votes this election than you did in 2000.
Right.
Except for Palm Beach County. They got 2% more.
Right.
Turnout in Palm Beach County was only 6% over, or the number of votes counted was only 6% over the number of votes counted 4 years ago. Throughout the state, turnout was over 22% higher.
Uh-huh.
And
so what are you, they're using those machines down there too, right?
Right. Damn. What I'm saying is that there are Democratic votes that were never counted in Palm Beach County. There was an 80,000 person, or more, I think it's 73,000, increase in voter registration in Palm Beach County over the last 4 years.
Okay? Right.
That's 12%. Most of those were Democrats.
Right.
34,000 more.
Right.
Okay. You only basically what happened in Palm Beach County is that they only counted the number of ballots that were voted in 2000. There was no increase in turnout according to the numbers.
It's criminal. I mean, you know, thanks for your call. I mean, hopefully, you know, someone will rally an investigation into this, and, you know, that's not even what's going on right now in terms of where all the focus is on Ohio,
you know,
and, you know, they took their eye off of Florida, and that seemed to go pretty quickly.
But, you know, we've had people this morning who said, well, they spent too much time on Florida. That was the Democrats' problem. But apparently not enough if these numbers are to be believed that the caller just ran on us.
Rodney in New Jersey, what's up?
Hey, Rodney.
Hey, my brothers, how you doing?
All right, man, what's up?
Well, let's put it this way. I bleed two types of blue, and, you know, Brother Riley, you'll understand this. I bleed Seton Hall blue and Democrat blue.
Oh, okay. All right. I understand. South Orange, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Yay.
And let me tell you something, guys. Mark Maron, I'll tell you, as much as I don't want this to happen, I think it's time that the senator can see.
The reason why is this.
We cannot, we're staring at the abyss as a party. Okay.
Okay.
And we cannot have a replay of 2000. Okay. In terms of legal challenges and all that, we don't want to do that.
We need
to look at it and say, you know what? Okay, there are some questions, majorly questions. We understand that. We have to break out. And I don't endorse this, but we're going to have to do it. Break out the Republican playbook and start fresh. Go back. Get the local races, governor. Get back to the state assemblies and the Senate. Start working our way back up the old-fashioned way and get ready in four years to take back the White House. And
hey, Rodney, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Are you prepared to do what the Republicans have done in order to accomplish that?
Mark, I have. I've served at a local level.
No. I don't mean the good part. I mean the bad
part.
Dirty business part. Are Democrats ready to get us down and dirty?
No. I don't mean the dirty part. That part I don't endorse.
Well, we got to put together a platform that really appeals to people and connects with them and bring the people back into the Democratic Party, as Robert Reich was saying.
Exactly. And we need to go back and take the South again. Mm. That is where we're failing big time. Not just Florida. We're failing the South. How the hell can we lose Georgia, where Atlanta is a very large black population?
You're absolutely right. You know, it is a magnet for black folks. We've been talking to a lot of black people from Atlanta over the last few days, and they said that the community down there was active, energized. But I don't know. I've been to Atlanta a few times. It just seems like they're outnumbered by rednecks or something. I don't know.
Exactly. You look at it, you know, Mark, both you and I, our ancestors came from the South. How can we not have some type of bearing in the South?
You're right. Yeah, you know who was down to do that, don't you? The late Maynard Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
That was his strategy.
Exactly.
His strategy when he was going to try to become the Democratic National Committee chair, his strategy was to say, take the 11 states of the old Confederacy and take them back.
Exactly. We have to take the South back. We can't keep concentrating on Florida. We have to take back the states like the Carolinas. We have to take Georgia, Alabama. We have to take Virginia. We have West Virginia, we used to have in our column. We lost it. We need to get the southern states back, not just try to concentrate on industrial states, because that's not working anymore.
Okay, man. Thanks for your
call. Thanks, Rodney. Rodney makes an interesting point. Remember, it wasn't that long ago, Virginia had the first black governor in America.
And also, it's from all indications that it's primarily black voters that are being, you know, pushed off and, you know, put on these lists and bullied.
Yeah.
And their votes to the side. And their votes are part of the spoilage that Greg Palast was talking about. A lot of work needs to be done. But we got to take these guys to task now in Ohio. And if there really are some evidence of shenanigans in Florida, which it seems like there is, I hope that we take them to task for that as well. But I don't know if Kerry should concede so quickly. I think he should play this thing out. If there's a legal stand to take, he should take it. Why the hell not? Nan in New York, how are you?
Hi, Nan.
Yeah, hi, Mark and Mark. Love you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You keep me going.
Oh, good.
I have an idea.
Okay.
Several ideas. Besides all the dirty tricks, I think Democrats need to talk seriously about the idea of scrapping the Electoral College.
I know. Someone else called about that, too.
Yeah, one of our guests advocates that, too.
Because, I mean, when you think about it, our soldiers are dying so Iraqis and Afghanistans can have every vote counted, right?
Uh-huh.
And our votes aren't counted.
Right.
What's wrong?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, there's a lot of things wrong with the way it's set up, you know, but, you know, if it was just a popular vote this time, we would have been in trouble, too.
The other thing, Nana, is I think it would take a constitutional amendment to scrap the Electoral College, and then you have to get the support of two-thirds of the states, and that's very difficult when there are small states who benefit from the existence of the Electoral College, because they'll never go for scrapping it.
Yeah, and this administration only wants to amend the Constitution against homosexuals.
I mean,
you know, or
not the Electoral College, not some foolishness that was really set up to favor rich landowners back in the day.
Yeah, Jenna in Minneapolis. Jenna, what's up?
Hi, Jenna.
Hi. Your show has kept me laughing through the last few weeks. I want to thank you. It's been a great support to me. I'm in Minnesota. I'm fortunate that I don't have to be ashamed of my state.
Yes, you're right.
But I wanted to say something that bothered me throughout the campaign, even though I was a big Kerry supporter. And John Kennedy once quoted, I think, Winston Churchill, something about it's not enough to go for the head, you have to go for the heart. And I always felt that that's what was missing in this campaign, that kind of passion that a Bobby Kennedy or a Martin Luther King could inspire in people. And the way you do that, because the Republicans are always going to take the WASP, you know, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, and the Democrats is really, it's kind of like they unified, or they had an alliance of the disenfranchised.
Yeah.
And what I thought was missing this whole campaign was, you know, all this talk about, well, the middle class. Well, I never heard anybody talk about the underclass.
Right.
And, you know, hope is on the way, but no one spoke to or rallied those who the hopeless who give it up hope. You know, we had the war on terror, but whatever happened to the war on poverty?
Yep.
These were great words spoken by great Democrats.
Well, somehow
and,
or another, over...
and somehow we're afraid to be Democrats. We're trying to be Republicans. And if you say, "Well, let's let's go back and look at Carl Rove's guidebook." Well, I'm tired of Democrats just saying, "Well, we need to kind of be better at being Republicans than the Republicans." Why don't we go back and think about what does it mean to be a Democrat?
Right, and bring those people back into the party.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right. You know, and we appreciate your call, Jenna. Thanks a lot.
Jenna.
You know, that's what Robert Reich was saying, and that's certainly true. Is that, you know, over time the disenfranchised, the people who used to be predominantly Democrat, you know, have shifted parties because they felt over time they were sort of bamboozled into thinking that their wedge issues would be, you know, what was important to the people that are leading, and this administration has convinced them of that as well.
Well, you know what? We've gotten a dozen really great ideas out of the last 4 hours. You know that.
Yes.
Now, we really have to, not just us, but Democrats and progressives, have to implement some of these ideas. Taking back the South. Going back to Democratic Party principles.
Hold on, I'm writing these down.
Yeah. All these different things.
Okay.
These are all legitimate things. And they should not be tossed out in anger or at blaming anybody, although politically, you know, the blame does happen.
Right.
But the bottom line here is, this is the day that you start all over.
Right.
Right. This is the day that you define the party and you move forward. You look backwards to see your mistakes, but you move forward.
Right. And here are your marching orders for today from the Streisand compound. One, we can't say this enough. Try not to spend the day weeping and shrieking at strangers. Two, go to your happy place and completely redecorate. Why not? Three, don't put it off anymore. Just go to cooking school, all right? Take some control. Four, whatever bottle or bottles you were saving for any special occasion, open it immediately. Live! Live, damn it! And five, today's phrase is dropping in the conversation. Whatever! Whatever!
Whatever!
No, come on, man. Tomorrow
we'll be back to fight another day.
Hope.
Do you know, I can't believe it's been 25 years since the hostages, American hostages, were taken in Iran.
Okay.
25 years. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with journalist Borzu Daragahi, who gives us an update from Iraq and talks about the Iranian hostage crisis 25 years later. Have a good day, Marin.
I'll try, Riley.
Air America Radio.